morning. Happy Friday, everyone. Welcome to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. We have made it. It's Friday. It's been a tough one. We're glad you're jumping on board with us. A lot happening today. Bill Clinton is expected to make his way into a room and give a closed door testimony. I don't like the closed door thing. I don't think it's fair. I think the American people should be able to see. And apparently the Clintons believe that too, which is weird, right? When you agree with the Clintons on something. But the reality of it is the House Republicans, for some reason, thought it was best to do it behind closed doors. Why? Well, who knows? Who knows? We'll go over what happened yesterday, obviously, because that was an absolute train wreck. No surprise there, of course. House Republicans really to blame on all of this. Even Hillary Clinton saying, you guys didn't really ask me any good questions. They fought hard for this, apparently. And also, why are we traveling to New York? Why aren't the Clintons being forced to come down to D.C.? Strange, right? We'll talk about that in a little bit. When I look over at President Trump's agenda for today, it looks like he's actually heading to Texas. He's going to be in Corpus Christi right now, it looks like. He's going to be heading there in a couple of hours, actually. The president is expected to be receiving an energy briefing when he makes his way to Texas. And he's going to be also delivering some remarks around 3:35 p.m. Eastern time today. And also, the president, while he's out in Texas, is expected to meet with a member of the media and do a sit-down interview as well. So that is on his calendar. Then after Texas, he heads on over back to Palm Beach, Florida, where he's expected to spend the weekend, it looks like. Must be nice. I heard it's great weather this time of the year. In case you haven't seen it, there's a lot going on right now in the Middle East. It looks like maybe, possibly, they're going to get their way and start this war with Iran. The State Department has ordered and authorized the departure of non-essential U.S. government personnel and eligible family members from Israel right now. Now, that went out, of course, just a couple of hours ago. I put it up on X for you as well. That message coming from the embassy in Israel. So, again, this is just one of the many layers to all of it. Yeah, that's what dropped earlier this morning. Obviously, as many of you guys know, they've been nudging this war. They've been hoping for something to happen. I don't understand how we've gotten to this point. Or we can't just simply have a discussion, but here we are. Here we are. You can't miss out on a good opportunity to start another war. You can't. You can't. So we got that going on for us, too. We'll be speaking with Matt Tardio about just that today. We'll also be speaking with my girl, Mel Kay, because there's, again, more CIA documents being dumped out into the web, and these documents are quite revealing. What are we seeing here? Well, we're seeing that the CIA decided to do an operation to get this, go assassinate an individual overseas. Now, the name of that individual is redacted. I don't know why. Obviously, everyone's dead involved in that because it took place back in 1951. But again, it goes to highlight the fact that our CIA has been rogue for quite some time now and actually goes around killing people. So Mel Kay will be joining us because, you know, she's working on a whole book that's going to be released soon. And that is, of course, her main point in all of that. Also, we'll be talking a little bit about ICE because, you know, Politico's really upset right now. They're actually pushing, of course, more false nonsense. But most importantly, they're trying to lie to the American people. We're going to debunk that. And we're even debunking with their own reporting. That's how bad things are getting for those on the left. They're lying, and they don't realize that they're exposing themselves at the same time. And it's the latest information that we're finding over at Politico. Oh, what a joke. What a joke. So a lot going on over here. So buckle up. In the meantime, though, you got to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We just started our new sale. This time around, it is BOGO over at thealexjonesstore.com. When you buy one Ultimate Creatine, you get the CMOS gummies or the She Legit gummies for free. Now, this sale is ongoing until Monday, so it's an incredible weekend sale. You got to head on over. It's our creatine powder. That's what you got to purchase right now. If you haven't tried it, now is a great time to try it. If you're someone that works out quite often, creatine is something that you need to introduce into your diet. Will help with your muscle recovery. And it's also good for other things. You feel great. I get a lot of I get like a little energy boost when I take my creatine. So I highly recommend you do the same. Also, it's 25% off apparel as well over at thealexjonesstore.com. I know all of you love the hoodie that I have. Well, that's available right now, 25% off over at thealexjonesstore.com. That sale is going to end, though, next week, next Wednesday. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
Engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at TheologyShowStore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high quality Shilajit. You get either or, you choose, absolutely free with our creatine. The Alex Jones Store.
Yesterday in regards to Hillary Clinton giving her testimony yesterday in New York. We're going to go over all of this because it actually has me quite infuriated right now, the fact that our lawmakers actually decided to make their way from D.C. to New York to give them some type of, I guess, luxury of appearing there. I mean, listen, when you're called to testify, there's no reason why these lawmakers should be the ones going and bowing down to the Clintons. The Clintons should make their way to D.C. That's how normally this would work out. But of course, folks, we have to sit here and coddle these people. It's quite infuriating, especially because how are we paying for this, right? How are they paying for their transportation? How are they paying for their hotel stay? I'm sure they brought security with them. You and I are paying for that. You and I are paying for that. Hillary Clinton yesterday gave her remarks in regards to what actually happened behind those closed door meetings. And of course, they were closed door, but not at the request of the Clintons. The Clintons actually said they wanted to publicly testify, which actually tells me the House Republicans are a bunch of cowards. Because why else would you do this? I know James Comer is going to tell you something fluffy because he's the chairman of the committee. Like, oh, well, we don't know if there's any criminal charges going to stem from any of this. There's never going to be any criminal charges, James Comer. Stop with the nonsense. Bring them in front of the American people and let's put their feet to the fire. But no, of course, now we have to wait for those depots to drop, which actually could be redacted as well. So Hillary Clinton yesterday, when she shuffled on out of her own hearing yesterday, decided to speak to the media, and this is just some of the clips. Take a listen.
Madam Secretary, you spoke in your opening remarks about how heartbroken you have been for the Epstein survivors as these files have come out. Can you talk to us a little bit about how you have processed and reacted to the fact that the former president, your husband, Bill Clinton, is referenced in the Epstein files numerous times, including in some photos featuring women? And how have you been personally preparing for the deposition that is coming tomorrow? Are you 100% confident that there isn't anything that the former president knows about Epstein's crimes?
I am, and I think the chronology of the connection that he had with Epstein ended several years before anything about Epstein's criminal activities came to light and that he was charged and sadly given a sweetheart deal, which, as I said in my statement, had that not happened, perhaps his predatory behavior could have been stopped earlier. But I think it is fair to say that the vast majority of people who had contact with him before his criminal pleas in 08 were like most people. They did not know what he was doing. And I think that that is exactly what my husband will testify to tomorrow.
Can I ask, why was Colleen Maxwell invited to the daughter of Chelsea Clinton's wedding in 2010? She'd already been mentioned in a civil lawsuit by Virginia Giuffre before that. Jeffrey Epstein had already been convicted before that.
She came as the plus one, the guest of someone who was invited.
Thank you all.
Isn't that the safest excuse one could use? And why did it take so long for her to comment on this? By the way, folks, you could actually reject someone if you know that they are, well, hanging out with pedos. She was popping her head out of the aisle, folks. She was front and center at the wedding. I get it. They're trying to distance themselves from Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein. But there's a lot there. I mean, we even have emails. There are so many emails. Hillary Clinton claiming that she doesn't recall ever meeting Epstein. That's apparently one of the liners she used while testifying. It was in her opening statement. But if you look at this email here, comes from Jeffrey Epstein directly. Hillary Clinton is much prettier in person. Well, obviously we know that's a lie. But again, that means you probably saw you in person, Hillary. I mean, there's not many people who are going to lie for you for that one, especially that kind of lie. And when it comes to Bill Clinton, he's going to have a rough road today. He's testifying, obviously. It's probably not going to go too well for him. Because when you look at the relationship that he had with Epstein, well, it's quite the head-scratcher because he knew exactly what was going on. There's no way he could continue to play dumb. How many more photos do we need to see with redacted faces, which allegedly are supposed to be victims? You see, there's evidence that Jeffrey Epstein brought about like 8 young women with him on trips to see Bill Clinton at the White House. There's photos of him posing at the briefing room podium as well, at his Palm Beach mansion. So there's evidence that these two were buds. Good luck getting around that one. Now, when it comes to all of this, Congresswoman Lauren Boebert says that she actually showed Hillary the photos of her husband and asked if she knew anything about it. And in clip two, well, you'd be shocked. Take a listen.
The Oversight Committee you sit on has released these photos of Bill Clinton with all of these women on Epstein Island. Did anyone show those photos to the former First Lady and ask her if that indeed is her husband?
Yes. So the secretary was shown photos of former President Bill Clinton with photos that were released in the Epstein files. And she did admit that it was her husband, but she could not admit where they were, when they were taken, who they were taken with, and why they were taken, and what he was doing with those women. So it was very difficult to actually get any truth from her. But we did hear from Mrs. Clinton regularly that the committee should ask her husband these questions if we want answers. And so we are going to be asking Bill Clinton questions tomorrow and see if he can recall why he was in hot tubs with these young girls and receiving massages from women and what exactly he was doing all those times on the Lolita Express and on Jeffrey Epstein's island since Hillary Clinton could not recall the conversations that she personally had with her husband once she learned about these images. We are going to take it directly to Bill Clinton himself tomorrow.
Yeah, that tells me it's probably going to be very uncomfortable when Bill has to answer those questions. I'm sure he'll say, I don't remember. Folks, again, why is Congress bowing down to the Clintons and going to New York to have this testimony? Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. And again, of course, is that your expense? My expense? Everyone else's expense? These people are absolute scumbags. Absolute scumbags. By the way, Lauren Boebert, we're going to play clip 4 for you because Lauren Boebert yesterday decided to take a picture. And I don't even think she really cared to hide it, but she took a picture of Hillary Clinton and it caused a temporary pause in the testimony because they said it broke the rules. Obviously, Hillary Clinton said she wanted it to be on the record. And so Boebert looked like she was trying to put it on the record, but they got fired up. A leaked photo. Oh no. Take a listen to clip 4.
I really admired her blue suit. Everyone.
Why did you send the picture? Why did you send the picture?
Why not?
Why not? Well, she's not trying to hide in the photo. You can see her name card is clearly displayed there. She's not hiding the angle either. Hillary Clinton's a mess. She's an absolute mess. You see, this woman kept her husband around because she thought one day she would be president of the United States, and she's been unhinged since, because her plan didn't work out. She's led a very miserable life with a very creepy husband, and now she's upset. She's angry. She's not happy. And you would be, too. The man that you were forced to pretend to be married to was a cheater. Congresswoman Ana Paulina Luna has actually been doing a great job on all of this, and she says that it's hard to believe that Hillary Clinton did not know of Bill Clinton's relationship with Jeffrey Epstein, because that's what you're going to want to do. You're going to downplay everything. Ignorance is their strategy politically and obviously PR-wise as well. So in clip three, Ana Paulina sounds off. Take a listen.
Look, I am a candidate. I've been a candidate for office. Now I'm an elected official. And when you have top tier donors, of which the Epstein Maxwell entire apparatus was, you know the names of your donors and individuals. And I do find it hard to believe that she didn't know of the relationship between the two. Obviously, you had said that, and there is White House logs that Epstein attended the White House many times. There is also two reports of Ghislaine Maxwell kind of in and out of the same circles. And so, you know, I think the question is whether or not they were being targeted, but also to remember, you know, when you hear the Clinton specifically say, oh, well, Bill Clinton cut all ties with Jeffrey Epstein before the actual charges were brought forward. Well, remember, President Trump has said the same thing. And yet the way that the DNC, the way that the Democrats are trying to use this is to smear the president. And I actually brought this up in the press gaggle today in that we've asked the victims specifically on whether or not President Trump had hurt them. And he was exonerated. He released the files, and they don't want to report that. What they want to try to do is take this and have us say on record whether or not we will subpoena the president to come testify, in which I respond, the president is not considered a person of interest in this investigation. He's been nothing but cooperative, at least with us and members of the task force. And I think that his record will reflect that he has released all files. It was also interesting to note that we inquired on how many files did President Biden release. The answer is zero.
Zero. The answer is zero. Why? Because they don't care. And also, obviously, Joe Biden had empathy for pedophiles. Joe Biden allowed thousands of them into our country and showed you countless pieces of evidence of that, even sued to obtain that evidence. We know it. It's confirmed. We also know what he was doing all the time with these pedos. He, in fact, was a creepy man. He used to sniff children. Doesn't mean he's a pedo. It just means he's a creeper, but... Oh, it's so heartwarming. Because how the woman's uncomfortable, the baby's uncomfortable. Everyone's uncomfortable except Joe. Why? Because he's a creep. His own daughter saying that he took inappropriate showers with her. Nobody ever asked about that, though. Look the other way. Don't talk about that. Don't talk about that. If you do, they might actually raid your home. Folks, what's going on right now is a deflection, obviously, of attention. The Epstein files are heavily involved with Democrats, and they don't want you to talk about that. They don't want you to see that. Pointed back to the White House, the guy who was the one who authorized the release of the Epstein files is obviously heavily involved in all of this. He's not. He's been vindicated. We see the police documents saying that he was the one who was initially coming forward and trying his very best to end what Epstein was doing because he knew he was a creep. We know that he kicked him out of Mar-a-Lago as well. Now, there was obviously the false reports that were being made, and that's obviously politically motivated given the time frame of when they were taking place. But this is what Democrats do. And I told you all, evidence has been erased. Now, whether it's permanently erased or it was taken out of the files and it was shifted over to a deep state operative, we don't know. But I've been telling you for months now, I know based on my sources that evidence has been erased. And Ana Paulina Luna, the great congresswoman from Florida, also yesterday exposing just that as well. That is a big, big issue. Now, again, nothing's being done by the DOJ or the FBI about it, it seems like, because we haven't heard them even say it. But they know that when they took on these positions, there was a lot of key elements gone, missing, MIA, and they knew this. And they've done nothing to fix any of this. Time and time again, it's like rage bait at this point. They tell you and they point, say, do you see this? Oh, this is crazy. This is unconstitutional. And then they do nothing. Nothing. Why? Because they're all afraid. They're all afraid. Or they're just a part of the deep state. Who knows at this point? I still have hope in Cash Patel that maybe he'll wake up and start doing something. He's doing great work on the pedophilia side of everything, going after a lot of these pedo gangs on the dark web, the internet. He's doing a great job at that. When it comes to the core of all of this, we're not really seeing much in the way of movement of arrest coming anytime soon. Again, that really falls, though, on the... It's not shifting blame. It really falls on the DOJ. The DOJ is the one that's supposed to ignite the charges, file those charges. They have chosen not to do
anything of significance. Oh, this grand jury's popping up everywhere. Great. Let's see something. Let's see some results. We haven't seen anything. Everyone that I know over the DOJ is a credible person who was actually there to help end these deep state operatives who put their careers on the line. Well, they're all fleeing. Or they're being forced out, pushed out. We don't have many options currently right now in our federal government. And it's because the swampiest of swamp creatures have penetrated their way to the top of all of these agencies, and they are continuously pushing people out. Speaking of that, it's an interesting report that came out yesterday. Howard Lutnick, again, another individual who should be brought before the committee. I know James Comer replayed that live press conference that he held yesterday, says that, all right, maybe we'll bring forward Lutnick. No, let's not do maybes. Let's not do, we'll see. Let's do, yeah, let's get him on the books. Because Howard Lutnick has a lot of very strange activities with Epstein. Remember when we also played it here live when it was going on. He was giving congressional testimony where he claimed that, oh, no, he went to Epstein Island with his family. Well, that might actually be Howard Lutnick. Again, the angle is quite strange, but it looks like the younger version of Howard Lutnick. I don't see family. I don't see kids. Thankfully, we don't see kids. His kids, by the way, that's what he was saying. So it might be best just to prioritize getting Howard Lutnick in front of the committee and having him address these issues. Again, that photo, apparently, according to reports, was put up by the DOJ and then quickly taken down. But there's a great, great X account that's gone up, J-Mail Archive. And they're posting a lot of this. They've saved it quickly and are archiving it themselves. And that's the type of thing we need. Because DOJ claims, oh, no, we've put up everything. We've showed you everything we've got. Well, it doesn't appear to be that way. And asking simple questions is completely acceptable. You're allowed to do just that. And I highly recommend you do it. But in regards to the document dump, again, this is going to take a very long time for everyone to sift through all of this. And every single day I'm going through it and I'm like, there's just a whole nother side of all of this. A whole nother story. Well, our good friends over at Zero Hedge are doing an incredible job too at diving into all the docs. And they're trying their very best to sift through the information. In fact, they've put out a lot of key pieces of information in regards to possible surveillance footage that the American people could rely on that might actually still exist. There are several accounts that Epstein had that are still currently active. And so while they'll claim that there's no actual Epstein tapes, there's no tapes of these children being raped, it's quite strange given the fact that his island and his properties were heavily surveilled. Jeffrey Epstein hired, this is according to report, private detectives to remove large amount of potential incriminating items from his Palm Beach property and transfer it over to a secret storage locker shortly after the police raid back in 2005. Now, the storage unit contained 3 computers, 29 address books, and 3-page lists of Florida masseuses. Ooh, can't lose those. It also included nude photos believed to be of Epstein's victims. But again, they have photos, but they don't have, and they also have, by the way, DVDs. But they don't, for some reason, have any suspects on those photos. In those photos, in those videos, weird. Very weird. It also included pornographic magazines, sex slave training manuals, more videotapes, some in showers of women, lingerie, sex toys, lingerie cash, and other personal items, greeting cards even. Well, that's nice of him. There's no way that he had a PI take all of that into a storage unit to avoid the federal government from getting it. And you haven't obtained it, FBI. You don't have any footage, any evidence of these men raping children? Hard to believe. Very hard to believe. The inventory of the locker was emailed to Epstein and his lawyers back in August of 2009 following the release of him from prison. Some of the materials included surveillance link computer equipment. Again, this is the latest report right now over at Zero Hedge. No surprise there, folks. No surprise there. They hope that you're just not paying attention, I guess. Oh, by the way, even Zero Hedge is pointing out there was an individual, an IT manager, who was helping Epstein install his Pedo Island recording devices, allegedly. Well, that tech guy apparently now works for the United States government. That's according to the research that's been done by Zero Hedge. No surprise there. No surprise there. Maybe somebody want to ask a couple questions, too. Jermaine Ryan, maybe. That's probably how you pronounce that one. Who knows? I want to stop him and ask him some questions. It's right now linked on the government website that he is an active employee again. We haven't confirmed that independently, but it's one of the many interesting angles in all of this, folks. I wonder how somebody goes from being a private IT manager to working in the U.S. government. I wonder if there's a fast track to that. I want to play a story for you as we pivot away from the Epstein stuff, because there's more stuff coming out. We'll keep our eye, though, when Bill Clinton does make his way over to testify in New York today. And if the committee does stop to speak to the media, we'll bring that to you live. So we'll keep our eye on that. But I want to bring this to you as well. Let's play this clip. This is a trucker who was apparently going the wrong way in Missouri. And shocker alert, he is apparently Somalian, and he is allegedly from Minnesota. Take a listen to clip 5.
Going in the wrong direction. And instead of pulling over once they saw cars flying right at them, the witness says the semi sped up and was hitting 50 miles per hour, going the wrong way for nearly 3 miles. Miraculously, they didn't hit anyone, and Missouri Highway Patrol eventually pulled over that driver, who had a legal commercial driver's license from Minnesota. But Highway Patrol says during that stop, our commercial vehicle enforcement troopers conducted a driver inspection and determined the driver could not properly identify road signs as mandated by federal motor carrier regulations. Per federal motor carrier guidelines, he was placed out of service and not allowed to continue driving. Here's what we know about this particular trucking business. Cargo Transportation LLC is run out of an apartment in Hopkins, Minnesota, just outside Minneapolis. It was registered in 2023 to an Abdulwali Ahmed and only has 2 drivers, one of whom presumably can't read road signs. But still, last year, the company drove more than 81,000 miles. We reached out to both Cargo Transportation and Minnesota's Commercial Driver's License Division for comment. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy says the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration is now investigating this particular company as the administration continues its push to crack down on foreign nationals driving commercial semi-trucks on our roads after a number of high-profile fatalities involving drivers, several of whom have been in the country illegally.
Wow. All right. Although our government will tell you that they're trying to crack down on the illegal aliens that are driving semis, I can tell you with confidence they're still allowing those companies to obtain H-1B visas. A lot of trucking companies are able to obtain H-1Bs, and they're not stopping anytime soon. This administration is more concerned about the economy rather than public safety, and they wouldn't want the economy, the trucking industry, to do an ultimate collapse because these illegal invaders have, they've penetrated the trucking industry, and because sadly we've now given them cheaper labor. They are cheaper labor, I guess I should rephrase that. They have just completely destroyed the trucking industry. And so the administration tells you that they are trying their best to get rid of the illegals, but they are also allowing H-1B visas. Folks, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. We have a BOGO sale going on right now, Ultimate Creatine. You buy that, you get Sea Moss gummies or Shilajit gummies for free over at thealexjonesstore.com.
Alert, alert, alert. We're engaged in world-changing information here. The worldwide satanic pedophile networks, the poison shots, the depopulation, the classified CIA documents about poisoning the food and water and medicines to make us dumb and more docile and controllable and to make us sick and die. Operation Artichoke fully declassified this week. Total vindication of this broadcast. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified, best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale, and that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country, so good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies. Each gummy is equivalent to like 40 grams or something of Irish Sea Moss. It's so good for you. A bunch of other super nutrients. And our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free. That's a $35 value. Absolutely free with our creatine. There's also store-wide 25% off all apparel. That ends midnight Wednesday, March 4th. But let me just overhead shot show TV viewers a couple of things right here. KU Medical Center. Creatine shows potential to boost cognition in Alzheimer's patients. Just type in creatine Alzheimer's. Creatine and cognition in aging, a systematic review of evidence in older adults, a major study. HHS Public Access. Effects of creatine supplementation on cognitive function of healthy individuals, systematic review of randomized controlled trials. And it's not just good for your brain, it's good for your heart, your muscles, everything. Everybody always thinks of it for muscles, but it's every organ, folks, and you got to get the right kind of creatine. We have the best. Here's BBC telling the truth. The bodybuilding supplement that boosts brain power. I mean, my God, I was taking creatine in high school. I could bench press 350 pounds, weighed 180 pounds, squatting 600. My strength just exploded once I got on creatine. But what's it do for your brain? Want bigger gains in your brain? Six facts about creatine and brain health. Get your creatine already discounted. Get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss and or Shilajit until Monday, March 2nd at midnight, and it funds the operation. Take action now at TheAlexShowStore.com. Plus, 25% off all apparel, t-shirts, hats, and hoodies. Ends midnight, Wednesday, March 4th. Take advantage of that. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. I want just Americana stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff. Classic InfoWars gear. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. I gave the concept great guys over there and gals. All up in Arkansas, where Big League's based. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. It's got a cool deal on the right-hand shoulder. And there's just, it's over 700 shirts now. That's the only problem, is that you find a shirt, you get it, you like it, you want to buy another one. It takes me like, if you don't remember the name of the shirt, it takes you like an hour to find it. But that's a good problem to have.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to The American Journal. Excited you're all here today. Happy Friday, everyone. We've got our eye on the law. Bill Clinton is expected to testify today. We'll let you know when that begins. Obviously, it's a closed door, but we'll be waiting for those members of Congress, the ones who made this a closed door meeting. We're waiting for them to pop on out. It's really infuriating because, man, oh, man, would I have loved to bring you the live stream of what was happening behind closed doors. But sadly, again, Clinton said that they wanted to testify publicly, but it was House Republicans that chose the other route. Doesn't make any sense because we're going to eventually see the deposition. But why would they do this? Well, only they can answer that question. Let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about DHS for a moment. I love this political article. They keep posting this. On political, I've seen it a couple of times. They just keep like rewriting the headline and trying to push it out. It's rage bait. It's supposed to go after those on the left to be angry all the time. Oh, they're deporting DACA recipients. That's what the headline says. But all you got to do is, you know, read. But something that their group of supporters are incapable of doing, and they don't really like to do it. When you go into the article, you quickly realize who these 80 deported DACA recipients are. Oh, you mean they're individuals with criminal records? Oh. Oh. Probably keep them in there. When you go and do a deep dive into political article, they do cite, yes, okay, Chrissy Noem saying that they are criminals.
But she didn't tell us what kind of criminals they are. Because this is the problem with those on the left. They actually think that some crimes are acceptable and some aren't. And so when you look at all of it, they say, yeah, all right, they got criminal history, but Christine Allen won't tell us what that means. That could be a traffic violation or nonviolent misdemeanor offense. I would say a crime's a crime. You get them the hell out of here. They don't belong here in the first place. We were being nice. I wasn't being nice. I didn't want them here, but some other people were being nice and allowed them to stay here. So that's the kind of nonsense that's being pushed right now by Politico, is they want to create rage bait, and that's what they're doing. They know that the left-wing terrorists, or all the domestic terrorists pretty much, are on their side at this point. Yeah, of course, there's a couple of nutso people on the right, but the main ones, the violent ones, the ones that are carrying out these mass shootings, the ones that are going to go out there and actually carry through with their assassination attempts are those on the left. We see time and time again. And so what they keep doing is they keep pushing things like this to make it seem like these ICE agents are going out there and just ripping away DACA recipients and dragging them back to their home countries. Why not include the criminal history line to that headline? It's a very short headline. I'm sure you didn't hit your character limit. When you look at Politico, they've had much longer headlines. It's strategic. It's rage bait. They want you to get angry. But they're not supposed to be here in the first place. Deport, deport, deport. And they didn't care about these individuals prior to this administration, of course. But now they do. Now they do. It's all about creating the illusion as if they truly care about them. They don't. They don't authentically care. It's like how they use these Epstein victims. They're using them for political gain. I want to take a look at this article, too. This one is quite interesting. There is a, what shouldn't be allowed, an Islamic judge who's now facing calls for impeachment. Why? Well, because apparently he's threatening to drag in Trump officials if DHS keeps preventing illegal alien criminals from being released into the community. You see, this is what happens when you allow the third world into your country. You get the garbage that comes with it, those garbage cans. I would say are the judges holding on tight for all their trashy human beings to be allowed into this country, the third world garbage. Now, of course, they're really upset about this. They're like, oh, there's an illegal alien from El Salvador, a 29-year-old who they're fighting over. They're saying, oh, he's got no criminal record. If he's illegally living in the United States, he's got a criminal record. He's got a criminal record. See, this is the problem, right? Because when Obama was doing all these deportations, even Hillary Clinton admitting, yeah, Bill Clinton and Obama, they deported way more than Donald Trump. Well, even after admitting that, you'd think something would change. Nothing's changed, though. It's just so frustrating because those on the left continue to intentionally mislead the public as to who's being deported. And when I'm telling you who's being deported, I'm telling you awful human beings were allowed into this country. Again, I've showed you the evidence that the Biden regime knew that these individuals that were being shuffled in were convicted rapists. In fact, that was allowed to be used as their form of ID, allowed to shuffle them through the airports while you and I had to get a real ID and show our ID. And then they tell you to scan your face. I don't do it. You shouldn't do it either. But those illegal invaders, no, they didn't have to do that. They instead, though, to get through TSA, just had to show their rape cards. Oh, yeah, I'm a rapist, but I promise to go to sexual deviance courses. And I promise I won't do it again. Well, that's not what's actually happening here. These people are monsters. Monsters. And the real victims of all of these crimes, they never have their stories told. I want to play clip six for you, because this is just a recent plea that took place of a group of individuals, again, Trene Diagua, sex trafficking minors. Take a listen to clip six.
The Douglas County Attorney's Office says the investigation is still ongoing, but we do know six men are in jail. He says a minor was brought here to Omaha from another city. Omaha police arrested these five men on Tuesday. They include Sumit Shadari, Vishal Goswami, Kavan Kumar Patel, Michael Martinez Gonzalez, and Alfredo Zambrano Hurtado. A sixth man, Eduardo Perdomo, faces five other charges.
We're in the process of charging several of them with trafficking charges, sexual assault charges. It appears to be, it's the allegations, is a 15-year-old girl who was brought here from another city and trafficked by somebody from this other city. So we'll have more details as we go along here.
We asked Klein if this sex trafficking case is connected to a Venezuelan gang known as Tren de Aragua.
Do we know, if the TDA gang is involved in all that at all with these cases?
That's something I'm very interested in, and there's a possibility.
Klein says Omaha isn't immune to crimes like sex trafficking.
I think sometimes people don't believe that, hey, sex trafficking can't happen in Omaha, Nebraska. You know, we're not in a gigantic city. We're not in places that you would expect it, but it certainly can, and this is an example of how it can happen.
Again, folks, these things are happening all across the country. It's not just happening, obviously, in Nebraska. Folks, you got to keep your eyes open. This is going on in places you wouldn't expect it. That's the reason why they're shuffling these children there. You see something suspicious, chances are it probably is, and you should alert law enforcement. We have thousands of children still missing to this day. Again, DHS telling me that there's over 420,000 when they stepped into this position, unaccompanied migrant children that went missing. Now, so far, according to Tom Homan, the latest number says that 145,000 have been recovered, and those efforts need to obviously be stepped up. But the reality of it is we're in a DHS shutdown right now, and so those who are actually going out there to find those children, well, guess what? They're not getting paid. So they probably can't even come into work, probably have to find a way to get income, and nobody cares. Why did the administration allow DHS to be partially funded? Knowing that Democrats would hold DHS hostage for reasons like this. It's quite strange. Not a really good strategy, of course. And nobody seems to be affected by it. That's why you don't see any actual movement with Democrats. I say just shut TSA down at this point and just cancel all domestic flights and see how that goes. How quickly they'd come back to fund it and we could go back to rescuing children. Now, again, DHS claiming that they haven't stopped rescuing those children, but the people who are involved, keep in mind, aren't being paid. I want to pivot to this also because this is a good one. A group of Maryland sheriffs are actually coming together, and they're elected officials, so they're able to do this, which I'm excited about. But they're blasting Democrats for trying to block ICE from being able to do their jobs in Clip 7. Take a listen.
This is nothing more than politics over public safety. And we as elected sheriffs are fed up with it. You don't see this many sheriffs in one location in the state at any given time. But we have to come together in unison to stop the ridiculousness that's going on up here in Annapolis, Maryland. And lawmakers need to wake up and realize Marylanders and the American people want public safety over politics, and they're not getting it.
And they're not getting it. Why? Well, because Maryland Democrats don't want them to get it. We've got a massive issue in this country, specifically, of course, up in the north as well, where all these illegal invaders have been shuffled to areas like Maryland. I mean, they've destroyed this beautiful country. And it was all strategic. It was all intentional, of course, shift the illegal invaders into places that normally they wouldn't land in. And, what's going on right now, what you see unraveling. Great work that these sheriffs are gathering together to out all of this. It is quite important to do just that. I want to pivot a little bit, but keep it on the DHS topic. This one involving Kristi Noem. She actually dropped a bombshell yesterday, and it's something that's worth your attention. She's actually saying, and I told everyone this, I knew when people were getting involved into the administration, I warned them all, hey, listen, don't trust anyone. Don't trust anyone. Don't give them your devices. I wouldn't even plug in. I'd bring my own ports and charge with my own ports. And it looks like, according to Kristi Noem, that she actually uncovered spyware that was uploaded on her devices, specifically to her cell phone. Take a listen to clip 8.
Came into this office. It was, Elon and his team were extremely helpful to me. They helped me identify that some of my own employees in my department had downloaded software on my phone and my laptop to spy on me.
Stop it.
To record our meetings.
Wow.
They had done that to several of the politicals.
Wow.
And so we ended up bringing in people, and that was something that if you didn't have those technology experts here in the department looking at all of our laptops and our phones and recognizing that kind of software, it would still be happening today.
What happened to the individual that was, had your phone that was being spied on? What happened to those individuals?
Fired. Brought in, polygraphed, fired. Yes, many of them out of that arm of the department that are in charge of security on laptops, phones. Also,
you think that's enough?
We had to. You think we have that's to sweep enough? My office on a regular basis to make sure that there's not listening devices in it. It was very prevalent. And I think that what happened at this department was individuals, had gotten away with for years spying on people who were politically appointed and trying to stop an administration that was coming in and trying to fix this country and keep us safe.
Yeah. Patrick bet David got it right. Do you think that's enough? I'd say no. No firing. Let's put their names out there so that everyone knows not to hire these people because they are treasonous pigs. They should be charged. They should be criminally charged. You see, this is the problem. This is the reason why Democrats do what they do. They've carefully infiltrated every single federal agency with their own operatives, and they have no problem doing things like Christy Noem just detailed for you. And it's not just her. It's happened literally at every level, at every level. The FBI specifically, too, by the way, when, you know, Dan was still over at the agency, the initial time when he first jumped on board, I was getting reports from individuals over at the Texas field offices stating that there was efforts locally to try to block them from doing specific things. I mean, imagine the cojones on a lower level official trying to block their supervisor just because they don't like their political stance on something. Folks, this is how bad these institutions have been infiltrated. And firing these people, when you ask these government officials, are you going to fire them? They tell you all the time, it's so hard to fire these folks. I mean, I just say, just put them on unpaid suspension and leave them out to dry. That's what they've done under previous administrations, the Biden administration specifically. They had no problem doing just that. They need to purge these individuals. But again, it's very hard to spot them, and that is the reason why Democrats have done what they've done. They literally promoted individuals over at the FBI, I've told you extensively, who hated President Trump. If they had some anti-Trump social media posts, guess what they did? Promoted, promoted, promoted. These people are still working within government. And so it's important to know that, even at the DOJ. And I want to be gracious, of course, but the reality of it is most of it falls on Hambody. When we're talking about documents not being released, it's not like Pam Bondi's going to know what 3 million documents were actually put out, which ones weren't. She wouldn't actually know that. She had to trust people working underneath her to tell her what was going on. But I lack empathy for her given the fact that she did a little photo op at the binders at the White House, which she obviously knew given the fact that she put a letter in there saying that we didn't get all the documents, but still use those people as political props. Unwillingly, by the way. Yeah, that was the moment. A lot of people still having to deal with the harassment from all of this because they didn't know. And then, of course, the DOJ also told them, you can't talk about this for like 3 more hours. Let's pivot a little bit. Since we're talking about corrupt individuals, Tony Gonzalez, I'm still not letting up on this issue. Several Republicans have come forward and called for his resignation, given the fact that he's allegedly a creep. He's allegedly a creep. There's text messages that have been brought to the light. And they show that Gonzalez, in fact, was sexting. I don't even know if it was willingly, because she twice tells him that he's going too far. But he didn't stop. The married father of 6 wouldn't stop. And he went from initially denying everything to now he's no longer denying it. Now he's just saying, the truth will come out soon. Yeah, dude, the truth is coming out. And you don't have a defense. Do you think by saying, oh, this is all political, they're trying to push me out, oh, as if you've been a real fighter? You've been a real tough ass? Come on. Come on. Well, Tim Burchett, who is a great, great congressman, I've got like those who are still in the office. I've got like maybe, I've got like maybe like 3 that I authentically like. Or maybe 5. Those numbers are dwindling though. Everyone's leaving. But Congressman Tim Burchett is, he's not afraid to say the truth. The reality is yes, Republicans do have a very thin majority right now in the House. And so many are too afraid to say, all right, we got to cut it down a little bit. We got to get rid of this guy. He actually is a problem. Based on the text messages, it looks like he's a predator. Right? His staffer's telling him, leave me alone. Stop it. Oh, by the way, that staffer who allegedly had an affair with him after he, what it looks like, bullied her into doing it, and again, she's a 35-year-old grown woman, so I don't know if I'd use the word bullied either. Probably shouldn't. But the reality of it is she was given a raise. According to the latest local news report, she was given about a 26% raise back in 2024. So who knows what the timeline of that affair was?
and whether it had to do with that. But the congressman is calling it out and calling for Tony Gonzalez to resign and step down in clip 9. Let's take a listen.
A male harassing a female employee, I just can't stomach it, dude. I got a wife and a daughter. It needs to go.
Tony Gonzalez needs to resign. The discussion.
Obviously, Tony has a lot of reflection to do, and it's obviously going to be something that will likely impact our margins, but I don't make an excuse for what he did, and I would encourage him to consider resigning.
Given what I've seen so far, he should resign.
Yeah, I mean, given the fact that we've waited for him to tell his story, he's chosen not to. He's trying to get away with this primary, so he's not going to say anything now. That's the reason why when you ask him these questions, he's telling you, wait until the truth comes out. No, now's actually your time to tell the truth. No one's stopping you from telling the truth. Texans want to know, were you sleeping with your staffer? Did you send questions to your staffer about what kind of sexual thing she was into? Again, we don't really care for your personal life. And if you're cheating on your wife, then that's something for your wife to deal with, as well as God is going to punish you later for this, of course, because that is a heinous, heinous thing to do. But the reality of it is, and the man has got 6 kids, by the way. But the reality of it is he's not trying to take any responsibility for any of this. He wants to look the other way on the issue. That staffer later killed herself. And again, initially, a lot of us thought it was due to the affair, but apparently there's allegations that her own husband was having an affair as well with her best friend. Disgusting human beings, if true. But folks, that's what's going on right now in Texas. And obviously it's primary season. So Tony Gonzalez is trying to look the other way and hope that people will not ask these tough questions. He needs to go. He needs to go. If he was a man with a little bit of class, he would have withdrew his name from re-election. I would have said, hey, I'm going to hold on this seat for the time being, but I'm going to bow out because he's classless. He's decided not to. And again, normally I would say, you're innocent until proven guilty. But folks, these text messages, he can't even tell you if they're real or not. He just tells you that the truth will come out soon. Tony, are those text messages yours, yes or no? It's a pretty simple question to be answered. This isn't a hard question. But again, if you're a man who's constantly cheating on your wife, you probably are just used to deflecting. So that's what's going on right now in Congress. They can't, on both sides of the aisle, keep their junk in their pants. All right, let's pivot a little bit. Let's go to a lighter topic. It's a little early and you're probably drinking your coffee and don't want to hear stuff like that. Netflix has just changed its decision to purchase Warner Brothers. Netflix has declined to raise its offer to purchase Warner Brothers, so it looks like it's done deal. According to their claim, they no longer find it financially attractive anymore, which is actually a massive, massive win for conservatives itself, because imagine if Netflix purchased Warner Brothers. I mean, everything's going woke. As conservatives, you can't really find content out there that your kids could watch that's not going to try to turn them into a tranny. And we all know Netflix is out there pushing propaganda that men could have children, or birth children, I should say. Netflix is one of the many, many groups trying to erase the greatness that women do provide to this world, and that is life. And it's been absolutely disgusting. I've canceled my membership a long time ago. I remember when there was that ad that they were running. It was obviously a biological woman pretending to be a man, and they were trying to push it as real propaganda. Like, men can have kids. They could birth children. It's one of the great things that make men and women different, but it's a beautiful thing. And they're trying to erase it. They're trying to erase it. So it's a good thing that Warner Brothers is no longer going to be purchased by Netflix, it looks like so far. We just need to downsize. Everyone, bankrupt Netflix. Cancel your memberships. Because this is my opinion here, folks. I think that they've gone woke. I think they've gone, they're just trying to destroy this country would be the better way to phrase it. And I think they're pure evil at this point. I don't understand why people continue to pay for Netflix. There's other alternatives. Yeah, they're not all great. Maybe go on eBay and just buy a VCR and just play tapes for your kids. My mom actually has stashed hers away, and I'm telling you, those are actually going to be worth a lot of money. I'll probably go over there and grab them for my future children as well. Because you don't want them reading this nonsense. You don't want them watching this nonsense. Everything is absolutely disgraceful over at Netflix these days. Speaking of disgraceful, this is interesting. America First Legal has actually filed a lawsuit against the city of Philadelphia. They're now suing in regards to five police officers who say that they were refused promotion due to the fact that they're white. It's so crazy that this is the world we live in, right? Because discrimination is acceptable if it meets the correct standards. AFL is now suing on behalf of these five individuals. They filed a federal class action lawsuit representing the white male police officers who were denied promotions based on their race and sex under the city's DEI policies. The suit targets Philadelphia Police Department and officials. And they're doing their best to try to push back on this. It's also worth noting that they adopted this DEI policy post-George Floyd, which prioritized both minorities and female candidates over higher-ranking white men. How crazy is that? I actually just, there's some, you know, positions that I think women can have in law enforcement. But those who have to do, you know, day-by-day interacting with the public, it's quite the challenging task, especially if you're interacting with a violent male for a female to take on. And so wouldn't you want more men joining the force because of that? The physical differences, which I guess we're not allowed to talk about. The DEI-driven policy replaced their previous merit-based rule of two, which required sections from the top two candidates ranked by exam and seniority and education. And of course, AFL's done an incredible job, by the way, of combating all of this and pushing back. When it comes to discrimination, they're one of the great law firms that does just that. They've actually had massive victories, and they were very busy under the Biden years because, folks, there was a lot of you-know-what going on during the Biden years. Folks, I want to remind you, over at thealexjonesstore.com right now, we have a BOGO sale going on for a limited time. It's going to end on Monday. When you buy Ultimate Creatine, you're going to get the Sea Moss gummies or the Shilajit gummies for free. Now, again, that's going to end on Monday. So before you forget, you got to head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com, and make sure you snag it before it is too late. It's also 25% off all apparel right now over at the shop. That includes t-shirts, hats, and hoodies. Now, that is expected to end on Wednesday. And just a little reminder, when you support thealexjonesstore.com, you're supporting this broadcast and keeping us on air. So we're very grateful for you doing just that. Also, if you haven't done so already, I'll keep telling you, you got to head on over and download the app, alexjonesapp.com, right now. We never know when that door is going to lock. It could be any day now. And the best way to stay in touch with us, of course, is to download the app. Make sure you have it on all of your devices, because when we start off our next project, you're going to want to stay in the know. So head on over, alexjonesapp.com, and make sure you download that now. All right, folks, getting ready to kick off the second hour of the show. Matt Tardio joining us next.
Engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th, and that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country, so good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything, and you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free with our creatine. The Alex Jones Store. .com. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Howard Lutnick, currently serving as the 41st United States Secretary of Commerce, joined Cantor Fitzgerald in 1983, rising rapidly to become its president and CEO at age 29, establishing himself as a prominent Wall Street figure for over three decades, rebuilding Cantor Fitzgerald after the devastating loss of 658 employees, including his brother, in the September 11th, 2001 attacks, an event he somehow missed.
Jeffrey Epstein was your neighbor. He was your neighbor for 10 years. How well did you know him?
All right, so we are in number 11, and he lives in number 9.
The head of Cantor Fitzgerald, Howard Lutnick, just happened to be out of the office that day that the terrorists struck.
When I was talking to Cantor Fitzgerald brokers and bankers in the days leading up to 9/11, they themselves were buying these airline puts. They told me, based on rumors that were coming out of Alex Brown, associated with Buzzy Krongard. So this looks to me as if CIA insiders knew enough about what was going on, but chose to make money rather than blowing the whistle.
He literally watched the plane go into the building, into the World Trade Center. Amazing story. That alone is an amazing story. He was delayed because his wife insisted that he finally, after years, take his child to school.
Recently, taking the economic wheel on the Trump administration's second term, Lutnick publicly championed and defended the tariffs as essential for national security and economic rebalancing, dismissing concerns about their legality or economic fallout, calling worries about Supreme Court invalidation silly.
In the very unlikely event that you're wrong, what is the contingency plan? You'd have to refund these tariffs? How the hell does that work?
You know, to think about silly things is a waste of time.
The mechanism offered companies an upfront payment of 20 to 30% of the duties paid in exchange for assigning their legal claim to any refund, effectively a litigation finance bet that the tariffs would be ruled unlawful, triggering government repayments of potentially hundreds of billions in collected duties. $175 billion at last count. Many have been quick to debunk the possibility of Lutnick scamming the United States. It is all based on a 2025 Wired magazine article that claimed the firm had already completed a $10 million deal in refund rights, a claim that remains a he said, she said between media reports and company denials. Regardless, Lutnick's myriad of Epstein connections is raining down like meteors from the sky.
We rebuild our house. We move in 2005. Okay. Jeffrey Epstein is arrested in like 08, I think, or something like that.
Right.
So knock on the door. His assistant on like a Saturday says, Mr. Epstein, your neighbor would like to invite you over for coffee.
Nick, I think you understand the root of concern here. It's the way you described very emphatically your first encounter with him in his apartment, said you were disgusted, would never have any contact with him again.
My wife and I decided that I will never be in the room with that disgusting person ever again.
Oh,
so I was never in the room with him socially, for business, or for even philanthropy. If that guy was there, I wasn't going because he's gross.
Did you in fact make the visit to Jeffrey Epstein's private island?
I did have lunch with him as I was on a boat going across on a family vacation. To suggest there was anything untoward about that in 2012, I don't recall why we did it.
Lutnick is referencing a supposed innocent trip to Epstein Island, referenced in an Epstein email that reveals creepy details about the ages of the children, a constant red flag in the Epstein emails. This is followed up 3 years later with an invite to Jeffrey Epstein to an intimate event for Hillary Clinton at Cantor Fitzgerald from Lutnick, followed by another email 2 years later thanking Epstein for a donation in honor of Howard Lutnick.
Yeah, that's my story. A one and absolutely done.
This isn't a Trump issue. This is a reminder that the 41st United States Secretary of Commerce works for us, we the people. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Yeah, the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, with the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, your joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If it matters to America, it matters here. This is the American Journal with Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. You bet your ass. It matters to us over here at InfoWars. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today on this beautiful Friday morning. A lot happening here. Maybe we're going to war. I don't know. A lot happening there we're going to dive into in just a second. I want to remind you guys all at home right now that we'll be taking your calls later in the show, so if you want to jump on the lines, 877-789-2539 is the number to call. That is 877-789-2539 is the number to call. We'll probably get to those calls in about, I'd say, 24 minutes, roughly. So give us a call if you'd like to join the show and talk about the stories we've talked about thus far. I'm not really like a morning show girl, I feel like. It's the stumbles. If you guys were to hear me in, like, four more hours, I work my way through it. And I'm trying to weed myself off the caffeine these days. So there you go. I want to dive into what's been going on all across, obviously, the country, but most importantly, the world right now. And we've got the perfect guy on to do just that. Let's dive into this story first. The U.S. military apparently employed a laser today to take down these Border Patrol drones. It's all quite strange. We are learning about this because it took place near El Paso, Texas. Again, that's setting off red flags for you. That's because just a couple of days ago, we were told that our federal government had to shoot down, allegedly, had to take down several drones that they said were part of the cartel. The cartel apparently sent them. Again, that story was quite strange because if you remember, they shut down the airspace at first for 10 days and then they quickly stopped and, all right, we'll open back up. It was all really, really strange. But now apparently they're also taking down Border Patrol drones by the El Paso area, which apparently, according to the FAA, is a restricted area. It's all quite strange. Joining me to discuss is Matt Tardio. He's been doing a deep dive into all of this. And I don't know what to think of this, Matt. So we're going to bring you in to talk. You obviously know this better than anyone else, the subject matter. What do you make of the report that our U.S. military had to take down a Border Patrol drone?
Like when you first started reading on it, I started to laugh a little bit because I saw you smirk and it just made me like lose control on the backside. But yeah, U.S. military shooting down a Border Patrol drone. That's very interesting that they're using the laser in order to do so. Yeah. But I mean, if we were to back it up 2 weeks ago, you know, you just said that, the original reports that came out from the El Paso area, prior to them shutting it down the airspace was that, you know, the White House officials were stating that it was cartel drone that ended up getting shot out. By mid-afternoon that day, the reporting changed to a party balloon, which was really, really interesting to me because these lasers are extremely high tech. Israel's been employing them for some time and we've actually got a little bit of an insight to what that looks like. And I mean, you can see these things crystal clear. I mean, these are very high energy lasers that if they want, they could, you know, poke it on the drone and they can cut the wing off the drone, right? Like that's how high energy these lasers are from a great distance away. So I say that because it gives a very good picture of what exactly it is that they're shooting out of the sky. If it had been a party balloon that they had, you know, put up 2 weeks ago, they would have seen the balloon very clear, put the laser on it and pulled the trigger and you would have watched that sucker pop. And they would have known immediately it was a party balloon. There would have been zero, how do you want to say, zero misinformation that ended up getting put out about it. But one thing's for dang sure, you know, if the United States Army is now shooting down Border Patrol drones, it means they're scared. And they're very, very worried, and their fingers kind of on the trigger. So why is it with all of the thousands of drones that are operating along the border all year long, and we have cartel drones going back and forth across the border, dropping off drugs and other things throughout the year, conducting reconnaissance on Border Patrol agents and such. Why is it now that within this 2-week time span, we now have people that are worried to the point where we're shooting our own stuff out of the sky? And I think that's the very real question that we need to look at, particularly while we're on the verge of going to war with Iran and after El Mencho's death down inside of Mexico. I think the United States is scared, and was the initial reporting we probably heard out of 2 weeks ago was probably accurate, and they just don't want to admit to it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get to with this. Do you actually believe the narrative still from, you know, we brought you in immediately and you reacted to the report that this was a drone that was like a drone that was owned by the cartel was the initial report that came down from the Pentagon. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what they told me. We haven't received any updates on all of that. Do you believe that report? Do you believe this report too, that this was a Border Patrol drone? I mean, it sounds like to me that maybe it was a mistake, or do you think that they were actually aiming to take down a Border Patrol drone? It just doesn't make any sense.
I actually believe that the U.S. Army could shoot down a Border Patrol drone. Yes, that is not beyond the realm of possibilities here. That is way more believable than a party balloon, because like I said, you know, these cameras are very high tech, and they can look and see exactly what it is. The deconfliction that should have taken place before that gets shot down is the real question, right? Like, why didn't the United States military reach out to CBP and ask whether, or DHS, and ask whether or not they had drones operating in that area? That should be one of the very first things that you do, right? But aside from that, you know, do I believe the initial narrative about it being a party balloon? No, I don't. For that very reason, right? Because these lasers are very high tech, and the camera systems on them are very, very good, because those lasers have to be very precise in order to take those shots. So no, I don't believe that we shot down a party balloon initially or popped a party balloon 2 weeks ago over the border.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm getting so annoyed at this because I never know what to make of it. I don't trust anyone. I don't trust any of these folks, but so we keep you around, Matt, and you're the one who's helping us sift through all of this. I wanted to dive into another topic too. This one was obviously the way we kicked off this morning when we learned that officials in Israel are being told if they are, if they're non-emergency officials working for the U.S. government, that they want them out. This is coming from the State Department right now. The State Department has authorized a departure of non-emergency U.S. government personnel and family members as well. Again, this is based in these came from the embassy in Israel. What do you make of this one? Because again, I mean, we keep getting told that we're getting closer and closer to possibly going to war with Iran. Does it sound like they're going to strike sometime soon now?
Yeah, most definitely. It sounds like we're about to be striking sometime soon. Mm-hmm. The evacuation of non-essential personnel is huge. And it's not just the United States that ended up doing that over inside of Israel. We also saw the same thing, you know, with China putting out the same order to their people over inside of Iran. You know, we've got the USS Ford that just arrived over inside of Israel outside of the Port of Haifa earlier today, local time, all right, a little bit earlier today. It was over inside Crete refitting for about 3 days, 3 to 4 days, excuse me, before it actually left, and it headed over to Israel. And so now we've got another aircraft carrier. The interesting thing about this is we now have a bunch of F-22s that are staged over inside of Israel, and I believe it was up to 14 refueling aircraft as well that are at the airport over there, the main international airport. And so we've got a bunch of, you know, U.S. military aircraft that are on the ground over inside of Israel itself, and of course, military aircraft are going to make it a pretty big target for Iran should they choose to strike first, particularly those refueling tankers. The aircraft that are aboard the Ford that are parked over outside of Israel right now could theoretically be used in a strike against Iran. They just have to refuel on the way over or back, right, in order to strike Iran, likely on the way over there. And if that's the case, that's what all of those refueling tankers are for on the ground over inside of Israel. At the same time, we have hundreds of aircraft stacked up over inside of the Middle East, with a bunch of them stacked up over inside of Jordan. And it's just kind of one of those things that's inevitable. The Iranian foreign minister, or the Iranian officials, had came out yesterday following the meeting over inside of Geneva, where they're trying to reach what is being called a peace deal between the United States and Iran. And they had said that everything is moving in the right direction. No deal has been reached yet, but it's moving in the right direction. And I think that framing is completely and totally out of context by saying that we're, you know, having negotiations. It's not a negotiation. The U.S. has demands for Iran. zero uranium enrichment. They're not allowed to enrich any uranium. They have to stop funding foreign terror organizations around the Middle East, including Hezbollah that was operating over inside of our hemisphere. And on top of that, they have to limit their ballistic missile range to 300 kilometers. Now, that's pretty scary when you start thinking about it, what our actual demands are, thinking that we're going to somehow come to some sort of an agreement on this. Because those are the U.S.'s like red lines, you know, so where do you negotiate from 0% enrichment? Well, Iran's not going to negotiate on that. Ayatollah already came out and said that that's not going to happen. He actually threatened Trump in his Friday sermon that he was giving, talking about when he's screaming death to America. It doesn't mean death to America. It means death to Donald Trump and basically all his cronies. So that's, I mean, this is the rhetoric that the United States is dealing with. They've been in violation of the NPT, that they're signatories to, that they claim that they suspended their, you know, status. They've denied the IAEA, the Atomic Energy Agency, the International Atomic Energy Agency, to go in and inspect any of the stockpiles post-strike. So we don't know what the status is of their 450 kilograms of enriched uranium, whether or not it's blown up, whether or not it's leached out in the environment, killing people. We got no freaking clue, what's going on with it. So, I mean, all in all, it's just a huge problem. We've got more than enough aircraft in the region to knock the hell out of them. And I think it's going to happen in the very near future.
Yeah. It's kind of scary given the fact that we have these sleeper cells still, living amongst us here in the United States. I keep asking for the statistics. Yeah. In regards to these, Matt, I haven't heard any updates in regards to how many have been captured by DHS. And again, I mean, that's the intention. I'm assuming that these people would probably be hiding in mosques, and it would make it very difficult for our federal agencies to go out there and wrap them up because for some reason we view Islam as a religion rather than, well, that's a whole nother argument for another day, I guess I could say.
I want to say the number that was put out by Joe Kent was 18,000 known or suspected terrorists that ended up entering the country, Islamic terrorists that ended up entering the country underneath Joe Biden, 18,000.
How horrifying. And I don't know if the American people know, the vast majority of these illegal invaders who've come into our country, these terrorists, actually come from our northern border. I don't know if you have any background on that, Matt, but I don't think the average American understands that the northern border is where they come in from. I think a lot of the focus has always been on the southern border, but because they know that our northern border is significantly larger, obviously, but it's also easier to get in from Canada because Canada doesn't love their people, so they allow anyone in, and then they try to shuffle their way into the United States. It's a mess right now. And by the way, again, I'm just going to keep reminding people, DHS is not funded right now, so a lot of employees who aren't receiving paychecks are going to take time off to pick up other gigs. And so obviously that's a huge national security issue. But are you familiar with the northern border angle to all of this? I'm sure you've looked into it.
Yeah. I mean, the Canadians are pissed off about it, to be quite frank. Like, you look at what the Canadians are saying about the Islamic terrorists that have worked their way over into Canada and a lot of the different things like the church burnings and things of that nature that have been happening over the last, you know, year and a half. And then it's really no wonder that our northern border is the way that they end up coming in. You look at the populations of, you know, kind of like the Midwest, and, you know, one major municipality basically takes up, you know, like five major states over inside of the Midwest as far as, you know, population goes. Like, there's just nobody out there. It's just scattered no man's land. So, yeah, I mean, that border is extremely insecure up there, and it's very easy for them to make their way over into the United States of America. And Canada provides a good, you know, access point for them in order to come in, regardless of where they're coming in from. The same thing goes true for, you know, like Russians. You know, we got a lot of Russians that go up over into Canada. You look over into northwestern United States of America, you've got a lot of like prior Russians that are actually up there over inside the Northwest. So the entire thing's just a problem. And it's not just the Islamic Jihadists either. You know, we've got spies coming in from China. And we've also got a bunch of cartel members. You know, people are worried about sleeper cells as far as Islamic Jihadists are concerned. Look at what happened in Mexico after El Mencho got killed, right? And how quickly over 200 roadblocks got thrown up and tons of people ended up getting murdered, in gunfights, and everything just ended up taken out, you know, and that is just in the blink of an eye. They didn't see that coming, but they were able to activate all of their little, you know, cartel network down there. Well, in every major city, you've got a bunch of, you know, cartel terror organizations that are operating. So if we go in and we start killing terrorists down inside of Mexico, guess what's going to happen here in the United States? It's nothing for them to flip that switch. So we've got lots of problems here in the United States. It's not just the jihadists. It's not just the cartels. You know, it's Chinese, it's Russians, it's all of them. You know, our borders were just screwed for years, and we've been ignoring it. I don't even think, I said this before, Donald Trump during his State of the Union address, you know, he said our borders are perfectly, perfectly secured. Zero illegal aliens ended up crossing over the last year. That is just a flat out lie. You know, we had countless numbers of illegal aliens cross into the United States over the last year. What he probably meant to say was that more have gone the other way than have came in for the first time. We've had a net negative, but that doesn't mean they're not still getting into the United States. You know, our border is ridiculously insecure.
Okay. So how many, so give us some insight on this, because I haven't heard this argument yet. How many do you suspect have been able to make their way into the United States? And have you, like, how do you, what's the background on all of this information?
Well, you can take, you know, CBP encounters for, you know, last year down on the border, and, you know, CBP, depending on who you talk to, because they have different estimates for what they call gotaways. And so you can go over to CBP's website and you can look up, you know, the estimated amount, or not estimated amount, they've been on a CBP encounters for 2025. And for every single encounter, there's always X amount of gotaways that end up coming through. Now, the number has been drastically reduced over the last year, but it's not zero. Right. If we had zero people coming across the border illegally, there wouldn't be as many CBP encounters as there was. Underneath the Biden admin, I want to say it maxed out at 2.8 mil, as far as the high number goes for CBP encounters. Underneath Trump, and I think it dropped to under, 500,000. I'd have to go look at the direct number over the last year, but I mean, it significantly declined. And that is kind of like the, you know, average of where it kind of like sits at. But either way, there's always those gotaways that get factored in. And you could look up, you know, previous interviews of CBP chiefs that'll come out and they'll tell you the exact same thing. We don't know how many get away. And that's the scary part.
Yeah, that is pretty horrifying. And I mean, I think it was yesterday, the day before, that there were three unaccompanied minors who were also trying to make their way into the country as well from the southern border. And it just seems strange. But again, that probably is a deflection of resources trying to use it to pivot. So we'll keep looking into that story, but there's another story too that you just put on my radar as well. I didn't know that there was something going on between Pakistan and Afghanistan, but apparently it's pretty bad right now. Can you give us a little bit of a briefing as to what's going on right now between both those countries?
Yeah, the Taliban picked a fight with Pakistan, made a very horrible mistake in doing so. I mean, they've been having, you know, disputes along the border, and you have a group that's called the TTP, which is, you know, identified as Taliban, but the Taliban, the official Taliban government, and I hate to call them that, of Afghanistan, doesn't necessarily recognize them. But they've been, you know, attacking Pakistani military forces inside the Pakistani borders for quite some time. Pakistan told them to get, you know, told the Taliban to get them under control. Taliban said, we're not affiliated with them. So Pakistan, you know, started attacking. As soon as they started attacking the TTP, then we saw, you know, the official Taliban rolling out in U.S. military vehicles heading over towards the border with Pakistan. Overnight, I think it's estimated that Pakistan has killed over 400 Taliban members, destroyed over 50 border patrol checkpoints. They currently own 20 of them that used to belong to the Taliban, different border outposts, you know, because you have a very mountainous region spread across the border. So they have different mountain outposts. They're just kind of like set up there, you know, picture small little military outposts that are set out there. And they've taken out like ginormous numbers of, you know, armored vehicles, tanks, APCs, Humvees, things of that nature. They were bombing Kabul. They have taken out numerous battalion headquarters elements of the Taliban in three different provinces across Afghanistan. And it's still ongoing to this morning. They're treating artillery fire across the border. And it looks like, at least in this case, that the Taliban is getting their butt handed to them. And it's going to continue on that way for quite some time until they learn to stay within their borders.
Yeah. We'll keep our eye on that. That's an interesting one too. It's such a mess, Matt. It's literally, there's never any peace in the Middle East. And I know the president likes to push for that, nudge for that, but I don't think there's ever going to be peace in the region at all. And we just got to keep all of them out. Got to keep them all out of this country.
No.
And kick the ones out.
Well, number one, it's Ramadan. Let's be perfectly clear about what's going on right now. It's Ramadan. And they get extra concessions in their radical Islamic belief up in heaven if they end up dying as part of like a holy war. And they die as martyrs for that holy war. So that's exactly what's going on. Like, let's be perfectly clear about that, right? You cannot take out the Ayatollah and get rid of a radical religious ideology. There is one way to get rid of a radical religious ideology and only one proven way to get rid of a radical religious ideology, but I don't think the world is ready for that.
Yeah, I don't. I am now. I don't think the world's ready for it though. I was actually just watching a video too. I was trying to quickly find it. It is a suicide bomber. The Pakistani Taliban have carried out a suicide bombing. Again, I don't know what side this person's on. I'm assuming though, since it looks like the Pakistani police checkpoint was targeted.
Yeah, the suicide bomber's from the TTP and he's walking over to the Pakistani checkpoint. Yeah. It's exactly what's taking place.
And he just blew himself up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all
And it took place a couple days ago. And you're going to get a huge increase in suicide bombers during, you know, Ramadan because of that very reason, because they are guaranteed to die as a martyr. They're guaranteed their place in heaven. All of their sins are forgiven. They get all of these extra concessions. A lot of the times their families will get, you know, extra payouts and things like that because of it. So yeah, they're perfectly happy to go and die for the cause. They're not going to stop. But the good news is there's one less terrorist on the planet. So we've got that going. You know, every suicide bomber at least guarantees one less terrorist, which is a good thing.
Yeah, and this is the video I was just talking about as he walks up to the police and then he blows himself up. Four Pakistani police officers were killed in this explosive. Who knows what he had on him, but of course, this is one of the many, many issues that they have in the Middle East and that they're trying to bring here. You know, Matt, when they sit here and make the argument that they want to bring Islam to the West and they want to conquer us, it wouldn't end their violence. I mean, they can't even coexist with one another. It would only continue to accelerate and had enough of it. Let's just purge it all out of the West, the American.
Who do you think are the people saying, let's bring Islam to the West, right? Do you think it's the moderates that are happy, like where they're sitting at, that are just kind of hanging out over in their country, or the ones that are going, we need to take Islam to the West, i.e. we need to go conquer the West? Do you think that those are like nice, peaceful guys, or do you think those are the radical ones, right? It's not like they're missionaries like flying over here and being like, have you guys heard of Allah? Have you heard of the Prophet Muhammad? You know, that's not what they're doing at all. That is not the way they're going about life. That's not what they're doing at all. They're looking at taking things over. And those suicide bombers, by the way, you know, somebody had mentioned that Pakistan has nukes, and then the leader of the Taliban, one of the ground force commanders of the Taliban, actually got word of, you know, Pakistan threatening nukes or hearing about their nukes. And he put out yesterday, I don't give a damn if Pakistan has a bunch of nukes because we have suicide bombers. Mm-hmm. And our suicide bombers are going to have greater effects than your nukes. What are you going to do? You know, we're all willing to die for the cause, and we'll all just strap on a vest and go walk into Pakistan. What are you going to do about it? I mean, that is the ideology. That is the ideology. How do you stop someone that's sole goal is to kill you and they're willing to give their life in order to do it? And the answer is you have to kill them. So you can take that how you will. People get upset with me when I talk about genocide when it goes down to radical Islam. And sometimes genocide can actually be a good thing. But the fact is that they're willing to genocide themselves. So what do? You canoe their foreheads. There's not another answer that goes into stopping this madness, right? It's not like we can put them on an isolated island and call it a day, right? Israel tried that over inside of Gaza. Look where Gaza's at today, right? Didn't work out so good, right? All they did was build a radical Islamic jihad base with hundreds of miles of tunnels underneath civilian infrastructure, still managed to get an RPG, surface-to-air missiles, belt-fed weapons, explosives, right? All of this crap with, like, one of the most, like, surveilled borders in the freaking world. So, yeah, there's one answer when it comes down to getting rid of radical Islam. One.
Yeah. I don't think the American people could stomach it right now. I mean, sad.
It's not their job to stomach it. Yeah. It's not their job to stomach it, you know, and that's why, unfortunately, you know, when people are looking at the different things the United States military is doing, they go, well, we don't agree with this. Well, that's great. You don't have to. All right. You can take your pacifist ideology and you could push it up your own butt and go sit down and relax, because my kids' safety, my family's safety, everybody else's safety depends on it. I don't care about your pacifist ideology. What I actually care about is the national security and the safety of the United States of America. And just because you don't understand violence doesn't mean they don't. So leave it up to the men that actually understand it and allow them to go take care of it and kill these bastards before they start killing us back here at home. And the worst part is, I think even if 9/11 happened today here in the United States of America, that they would probably end up setting up a memorial for the freaking pilots. You know what I mean? Like these radical leftists would, oh, you don't understand where they came from. You just don't get it. You don't understand the hardship that they went through. You've got American privilege. So you don't understand what these radical, you know, Islamists were going through. Suck off. Let us kill them and call it a day.
This is why we have you on, Matt Tardio, because you always give us the best insights. And folks at home, if you want to keep following him on X, because he does a great podcast as well, make sure you do just that at Anger Tab. That's at Anger Tap, where you can find him at. Great podcast, I tell you. Great podcast. Matt, thanks for jumping on with us as always. We appreciate your insight.
Of course. Thank you, ma'am.
All right, folks, buckle up. We got more to discuss in just a bit. In the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We have our BOGO sale going on, and it's only going on until Monday. So stop what you're doing right now and head on over to the site. Again, it's buy one, get one free. When you buy Ultimate Creatine, you can either get CMOS gummies or the Shea Legit gummies for free over at thealexjonesstore.com right now.
Alert, alert, alert. We're engaged in world-changing information here. the worldwide satanic pedophile networks, the poison shots, depopulation, the classified CIA documents about poisoning the food and water and medicines to make us dumb and more docile and controllable and to make us sick and die. Operation Artichoke, fully declassified this week. Total vindication of this broadcast. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale, and that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible highest quality concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies. Each gummy is equivalent to like 40 grams or something of Irish Sea Moss. It's so good for you. A bunch of other super nutrients. And our high quality Shilajit. You get either or, you choose, absolutely free. That's a $35 value. Absolutely free. With our creatine. There's also store-wide 25% off all apparel. That ends midnight Wednesday, March 4th. But let me just overhead shot and show TV viewers a couple of things right here. KU Medical Center. Creatine shows potential to boost cognition in Alzheimer's patients. Just type in creatine Alzheimer's. Creatine and cognition and aging, a systematic review of evidence in older adults, a major study. HHS Public Access. Effects of creatine supplementation on cognitive function of healthy individuals, systematic review of randomized controlled trials. And it's not just good for your brain, it's good for your heart, your muscles, everything. Everybody always thinks of it for muscles, but it's every organ, folks, and you gotta get the right kind of creatine. We have the best. Here's BBC telling the truth. The bodybuilding supplement that boosts brain power. I mean, my God, I was taking creatine in high school. I could bench press 350 pounds, weighed 180 pounds, squatting 600. My strength just exploded once I got on creatine. But what's it do for your brain? Want bigger gains in your brain? Six facts about creatine and brain health. Get your creatine already discounted. Get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss and or Shilajit until Monday, March 2nd at midnight, and it funds the operation. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Plus, 25% off all apparel, t-shirts, hats, and hoodies. Ends midnight, Wednesday, March 4th. Take advantage of that. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. I want just Americana stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus. Classic 1776 stuff. Quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff. Classic InfoWars gear. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. I gave the concept great guys over there and gals. All up in Arkansas, where Big League's based. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. It's got a cool deal on the right-hand shoulder. And there's just, it's over 700 shirts now. That's the only problem, is that you find a shirt, you get it, you like it, you want to buy another one. Takes me like, if you don't remember the name of the shirt, it takes you like an hour to find it. But that's a good problem to have.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on with us today. If you want to call into the show, the number is 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. I actually just looked over and it looks like the members in Congress are about to speak in a second. I'll let you know when they do. We'll bring it right to you, but they are making their way to the podium right now, and our control room will get that up and going, and we'll bring it to you right now. Take a listen.
All across America who have kept up with the whole Epstein investigation and are outraged by the obvious fact that men and women for that matter, of great power and great wealth from all across the world have been able to get away with a lot of, heinous crimes, and they haven't been held accountable, and they haven't even had to answer questions about what they knew and when they knew it. Today, we hope to be able to do as we did yesterday and continue to bring some of the most powerful people in the world in to answer questions. Again, no one's accusing anyone of any wrongdoing, but I think the American people have a lot of questions, and our House Oversight Committee is committed to getting answers. We're committed to transparency. We've already seen a lot of very powerful people who have been held accountable by having to resign in disgrace from various boards all over the world. We're going to continue to seek the truth, try to figure out how the government failed the victims, and try to hopefully hold more people accountable. That's what the purpose of this investigation is. I will say this, it's very difficult to get people in for these depositions that of great power and great wealth. And I used yesterday and today as an example. It took 7 months, 7 months to get the Clintons in here. But we've got them in here, and we look forward to asking lots of questions that I think any curious media outlet in America would have. Yesterday, Ms. Clinton deferred a lot of questions to her husband today. There were at least a dozen times when she said, "You'll have to ask my husband that. Mm-hmm. I can't answer that." Mm-hmm. So we already had a big portfolio of questions for him, and that increased yesterday. So we look forward to that. We'll be happy to answer a couple of questions.
Mr. Chairman.
Chad.
Mr. Chairman, good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Explain to us specifically what you need to hear from President Clinton today. What do you want to know?
Well, I think everyone's seen there are a lot of photos that have been released by the Department of Justice as well as the Epstein estate. There are a lot of email correspondence that included President Clinton. We know President Clinton had, and Secretary Clinton confirmed this yesterday, Jeffrey Epstein was in the White House 17 times while Bill Clinton was president. We know that Bill Clinton flew on Jeffrey Epstein's plane at least 27 times. So those are questions that we're going to ask. Everything that most media outlets have reported with respect to pictures and correspondence between Epstein, Maxwell, and Bill Clinton, these are all questions that we're going to ask today.
Mr. Chairman,
yesterday you both told me that you were planning on asking about an email that Howard Lutnick sent to Jeffrey Epstein, I presume about a Hillary Clinton fundraiser. I think that was the one. If he's worth asking about, is he not worth asking in to talk about what he might know?
Yeah, and I think it'll be interesting when we hopefully get that video out later today or tomorrow as quick as we can get it out. I think it'll be interesting what Hillary Clinton said about Howard Lutnick.
And how she said it.
We looked, I think that was Ms. Mace, with the line of questioning. So there was a pretty thorough line of questioning yesterday between Ms. Mace and Ms. Clinton with respect to Lutnick. Now, I think you all find it very interesting what she had to say, but we're going to continue to, ask questions of everyone that shows up in photos on the island and things like that. Yes.
I will be asking.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Obviously, we've heard from Secretary Clinton after her deposition. She described the session as repetitive. She said it veered off topic. Mm-hmm. She asked about things like UFOs, Pizzagate. Can you explain why those topics were brought up? Mm-hmm.
And she also said there were substantive questions yesterday, too. But one reason there were repetitive questions about Epstein is because we went through every email and every correspondence that implied Hillary Clinton and Jeffrey Epstein communicated often. You all have seen the email where he said that she looks better in person and all of that. Those were questions we asked. So every item of evidence that would suggest Hillary Clinton and Jeffrey Epstein had a close relationship, we went and asked about that. So it may have seemed repetitive because there was a lot of documentation that would suggest that she had a relationship with Epstein.
And
so
go ahead. Secretary Clinton actually asked about the NDAA. Sorry.
Go ahead.
To be clear, Secretary Clinton actually asked us about what happened with the disclosure language in the NDAA. So, I mean, I know she's trying to pivot from the fact that she's here and she had a very close relationship regarding the Clinton Foundation and Epstein and Maxwell. But the point is, and I think I'd like to hit on this with probably Ms. Mace here, but I think we have a very important interest in curiosity about what specifically the co-conspirators had a role in all this, right? We know for a fact that some of these were women. And I think that today, at least with my line of questioning, I'm curious about that. Why is it that these women were given plea deals as adults for trafficking minors? How much of that did they witness, et cetera? And so, you know, I don't know that Secretary Clinton was all that honest about the context of this investigation. We asked extensively about intelligence ties, whether or not she felt that she was targeted as a result of possibly an intelligence gathering operation. And she was very curiously interested in that. And then also, you'll hear it in the response, but had told us to follow up with a few countries, one of which is our ally. So that's interesting.
And I think Ms. Luna brought up a good point about the Clinton Foundation. There's so many examples in the evidence the Department of Justice released and correspondence where Epstein bragged about how involved he was initially in setting up the Clinton Global Initiative and the Clinton Foundation. We asked those questions to Secretary Clinton yesterday, and she kept saying, well, she was in the Senate at that time. She wasn't focused on it. You'll have to ask my husband. So a lot of the Clinton Global Initiative questions yesterday went unanswered because Ms. Clinton deferred to her husband. So we'll do one more question. Annie, go ahead. I'm going to let Ms. Mace answer that. We're on TV.
Okay, I'm not going to say anything. She didn't want to answer any questions about any of that and deferred most of those, if not all of those questions, to her husband, and he will be thoroughly asked about that today. What did he know? When did he know? What did he see? Because there are other people who've come forward publicly, like Kevin Spacey, who thought all of this was very strange and actually a very high risk for President of the United States or former president. It's all very bizarre, but I asked her very pointed questions, and you'll see that in the transcript in the video that comes out, and you'll see how she responded as well, screaming.
And we'll close with this. We're going to get the video out as quickly as we can get it uploaded in the sound and everything from yesterday. So this is, for all practical purposes, a public deposition. The American people are going to see it. I heard C-SPAN's going to air it wire to wire. So everyone's going to see what was asked yesterday. And I think that'll answer a lot of questions, especially with Lutnick and other things like that. Throughout the day, we'll try to send different members out to give you brief updates. We don't want to disclose what's going on in the deposition specifically until at the conclusion. But we'll keep you updated, and we appreciate everyone being here and look forward to updating you throughout the day. Thank you all.
All right, so they're wrapping things up, and they're heading on in.
She was unhinged, and I hope that President Clinton is less unhinged today than his wife was yesterday. You'll see it.
Speaking of unhinged, Nancy Mace, she is an expert. Let's see.
Basically instrumental for his words, and I think you'll find out from Clinton probably today in setting up the Clinton Global Initiative.
President Trump said he was bothered by the Clinton coming in.
All right, so
the biggest thing is we need
official
transparency, accountability, and we need justice for the victims. And we need to make sure we find out how can we write laws to prevent human trafficking and prevent people of that evil level infiltrating the highest levels of government. Thank you.
All right. So I think we're done. I think everything's wrapped up now. As you just heard there, they're trying to figure out what kind of laws they could draft up to prevent human trafficking. Well, we do have laws in the books, and the DOJ failed to do its job. But that was all intentional, not a mistake, of course. So I don't think we need more laws. I think we need people in power who will enforce those laws and aren't afraid of the deep state operatives looking to target people for doing their damn jobs. As you heard there, though, you heard James Comer, who's the chairman of this committee, go out and say that he could expect possibly the Hillary Clinton depo to be dropped either today or possibly tomorrow, and then said it's pretty much like an open testimony. I mean, why aren't we doing this in open congressional spaces? Why are we doing this behind closed doors? There's no reason for that. And the Clintons told you directly. Yesterday, we heard Hillary say, I actually wanted it to be out there in public. I wanted to do this openly. Now, it looks like Democrats are now making way to the podium. Let's hear how they're trying to cover up.
Oversight Committee for Democrats. And we're going to make some brief comments. Everyone's got a few brief remarks, and then we're going to start the deposition. I want to just begin by just saying that what we're interested in today is a serious deposition. We have real questions that deserve serious answers from former President Clinton. And we have said from day one that Democrats want to talk to anyone, whether they are a Republican or a Democrat, no matter how powerful they are, whatever position that they've been in, if anyone has information about Jeffrey Epstein and certainly the horror that he inflicted on so many women and children, we want to hear from them. What we do not want today is a sideshow and questions about UFOs or about conspiracy theories from decades ago, which is what unfortunately happened yesterday when a series of bizarre questions were asked of Secretary Clinton. And Secretary Clinton was clear. She never met Jeffrey Epstein. She never went on the island. She was never on the plane. And she had no knowledge, of course, of Jeffrey Epstein's crimes. Want to also add that there are a lot of questions today, whether they're about Epstein's finances, about survivors, about foreign intelligence, that we look forward to asking in a way that's serious and dignified, and we hope Republicans do the same. I also want to add one other thing, which I think is really important. Republicans have now set a new precedent, which is to bring in presidents and former presidents to testify. So we're once again going to make that call that we did yesterday. We are now asking and demanding that President Trump officially come in and testify in front of the Oversight Committee. He appears in the Epstein files next to Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell almost more than anybody else. So it's time for the president to answer questions about why files are missing from the DOJ, why there's been a White House cover-up, and why we continue in that administration to call this investigation a hoax. And finally, I'll review the call that we made yesterday that we are demanding again that the press and the public be allowed inside the depositions so that you can hear the answers and the questions directly. And if that's not going to happen, they need to release a full, unedited review of the questions and video within 24 hours of the end of these depositions. That means the Secretary Clinton deposition needs to be released immediately today. And with that, I'll pass it along to Mr. Frost.
Thank you so much. Today we're here to conduct a serious investigation. And it is obvious that our Republican colleagues, at least yesterday, were not here to do the same thing. We've said it many times and we'll continue to say it again. We will hear from anyone. We don't care who you are. We just want the truth. All of us have met with the survivors. All of us looked them in the eyes and promised them that we would see this thing through the end and do it in a serious way. Asking questions about UAPs, UFOs, as interested as I am in the subject too, it has nothing to do with this investigation. Don't waste our time. Don't waste the time of survivors who have been waiting and waiting for justice. Now, finally, the government is paying attention. Members of Congress are paying attention. Stay focused on the matter at hand. We're also calling out the hypocrisy of our Republican colleagues who, yes, we're here to talk with President Clinton today. We'll talk with anyone. But how come people like Howard Lutnick, see, it seems like they don't want to talk with him. They don't want to talk with the president. They don't want to call in Pam Bondi, who has done everything that she can do to cover up and to slow down our investigation. A law passed by Congress damn near unanimously that she's done everything she can to slow down the release of the files. And even when they're released, and they said members of Congress would be able to go to the Department of Justice to view them unredacted. I know all of us, if not most of us, have gone in there and seen files that are still redacted and not given a proper explanation as to why we can't view them. We know the Department of Justice has deleted things having to do with Donald Trump, has deleted things having to do with Howard Lutnick and people connected to the administration. We know that Pam Bondi has been spying on members of Congress as we've been trying to conduct our legitimate oversight responsibilities. So we're here to see this through. We're here because we know that this is about justice for the survivors, but justice also means that this never happens again. That's why this investigation is so important. We don't want this failure of government, this failure of elite billionaires getting away with a different system of justice. We don't want this to happen again. And that's why we're here today. We are serious about this. And my hope is that my Republican colleagues who say they're serious about it, back it up with action. Not just with the questions you ask here today, but what you do from here on out. It's not about party. It's about this nation. It's about protecting our most vulnerable people. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm James Walkinshaw from Virginia's 11th District. I am glad that President Clinton is going to sit down today with us and answer questions under oath. Anybody who had a significant relationship with Jeffrey Epstein should explain what, if anything, and when they knew about the crimes that were being committed. President Clinton's sworn statement said that he had no knowledge of the crimes that were committed, and I know that we're committed to asking tough questions about that today. But President Clinton's presence here today, under oath, highlights the Donald Trump-sized gaping hole in Chairman Comer's investigation. President Trump is mentioned tens of thousands of times in the files. We learned in recent days that files related to an accusation made against President Trump have been removed, not released to the public in the files. And this investigation will not be complete until we bring President Trump in to answer questions under oath. I'm hopeful that Chairman Comer will have the courage to move us in that direction. Thank you.
I'm Congressman Suhas Subramaniam from Virginia's 10th District. We're going to ask President Clinton the hard questions today. We're going to get to the truth about his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. But let's be real. We are talking to the wrong president today. President Trump is the one who has not released 2.5 million files. President Trump is the one who is blocking our investigation. President Trump is the one who wants this to go away, but it will not go away. And so, yes, we will talk.
All right, buddy, you calm it down over there. You didn't act that aggressive when Joe was occupying the White House, of course. Now you want to pretend like, oh, we got the wrong president here. No, no, you got the right one, the one who was enjoying some nice flights on Epstein's private jets, enjoying some, you know, alleged hangout sessions with Epstein. We're not going to run that propaganda, obviously. There's a lot of questions that Bill's going to have to answer for today, hopefully. Hopefully Republicans ask the right questions. But again, you saw House Republicans come out and say, oh, yeah, this is going to be pretty much like a public hearing because we'll release the recordings on a Friday and a Saturday. In the news world, we call that burying the lead because, well, you're going to be paying attention to your weekend. You're not going to want to watch a six-hour depo, of course. That's why they do these things. All right, let's turn to some callers right now. Let's turn to Ron. Ron, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good morning, Brianna.
Morning.
After all that, I could say something serious, but I really called in for a little levity. So for a disclosure, this is for entertainment purposes only. But first, I want to put in a plug for some of your supplements there. Ultra DNA Revival and the Life Force are fantastic. They really kind of got me back to normal after hanging around with the Clintons. And with all the pain in the world today, I do use your turmeric gummies and I'll probably eat more than I should. And the methylene blue has actually brought my brain back to normal. But I just wanted to relay a little funny story here. Again, this is for levity purposes only. But I used to hang around with the Clintons way back in Mena, Arkansas, and I worked for them. And Bill paid well, and I could always get a kilo of Coke when we were bringing it in. And because I did such a good job of inventory and things, they gave me a job in the government, and I went to work for USAID, and I kept watching Chelsea grow up. Boy, I wanted to marry her. She was such a beautiful thing. Besides, that would allow me to hang around with Hillary and get some of her, absorb some of her knowledge. But at any rate, seeing her talk yesterday, I couldn't believe some of the stuff she was talking about, you know, that she was letting out. And, you know, it's funny because I did go to Chelsea's wedding there, and because being with USAID, I brought the $3.5 million to help pay for her wedding. And they appreciate that. But you know how Hillary is. She's kind of gruff. So that's my story about the Clintons. And, I've had a lot of fun. But I think I need some more of that methylene blue now because telling this whole story just fatigued me. So I hope you guys have a good day, and hope you enjoyed that. Oh, God, there's Bill again with Monica. At any rate, I've overdone myself, so I hope you have a nice day.
Thank you for calling in, Ron. We appreciate your time and appreciate you waiting on hold there. Eris in Wisconsin, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
How you doing, Brianna?
Good, how are you?
Happy Friday. I just want to say first, the outfit and the hair looks great today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
But it's on the border. You're getting a little gothic, but I understand with the Epstein stuff.
you call me.
A little dark-sided sometimes. Yeah, but do you watch Joe Rogan?
I catch clips. I never have enough time to sit down for a full 3 hours and watch anything.
He was recently having a podcast where he had Jim Brewer, the comedian, on. Uh-huh. And they were talking about some emails I saw regarding Epstein. And it was like a two-set where one was like an email where Epstein and a confidant were talking about how he doesn't have a prostate. And Epstein says in the email, no, he doesn't. And then there's another email, the coroner report, that says he does have a prostate, the body the coroner had. So I was wondering, you know, did he grow one? Did he harvest one? Obviously, I'm being sarcastic, you know. It's obviously not the same person, you know, a body double. You can't have a prostate removed and then a prostate reinstalled. And the coroner's not going to notice. So I thought it was just another indicator that, you know, he's still on the loose. And I think it would be great if they brought him in like Osama bin Laden style. You know, don't throw him in the ocean. You know, you got to bring the monster in front of people to reaffirm that America is still in power and not under threat of some foreign organization. You know, it's become to the point where it's literally a threat to national security. Other countries lobbying, other groups lobbying over America. And you can see right now, today we have a former president, Bill Clinton, in the mix on this. Everybody said it was a conspiracy theory and a rumor. Obviously, he's part of the mix. They grabbed him up because, look, the first place he attacked him and Hillary was Serbia. And Serbia was a big hub of that. He was probably taking some Serbian people, and there was organ harvesting there and people missing. Women taken, and it echoed in Stanley Kubrick's movie where the person, the actor who plays the person who's selling his kid is one of the only Serbian actors that Hollywood uses. He has a kind of a Russian Soviet Count Chocula accent, you know, and it's just astounding to me that it's been confirmed in spades that, you know, these type of monsters are among us and running loose, running rampant. And I'm excited to see Bill Clinton today on how he's going to answer these questions, because he totally looks like a zombie. He's walking around like Biden. He was wearing some red tennis shoes, too, which I don't know if you know about the red shoe conspiracy theory.
Well, we only got 20 seconds left, so I got to jump in on here. No, I mean, the prostate thing is quite strange. I haven't heard that one yet. I could look into it, but I'm not the expert on prostates, as many of you probably assumed. Thank you for calling. We appreciate it. Folks, if you're on hold, stay put. We're going to be getting into the calls in just a little bit. Still, if you want to call, 877-789-2539 is the number to call right now.
We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at theolivestonestore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high quality Shilajit. You get either or, you choose, absolutely free with our creatine. The Alex Jones Store. patriotapparel.com. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, with the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
My girl, Donnie Lobosco, when I moved to Texas, actually sent me one, and it is a beautiful one. That one's really cool, too. I like that one. Folks, we got a lot more to discuss in just a bit. The third hour of the program kicking off very, very soon. Mel Kay will be joining us in a moment. We'll also be taking your calls. So that's 877-789-2539 is the number to call into if you want to join the show, of course. Don't ask me about your prostate, though. I don't know what to say when you call in and ask those questions. Folks, I want to dive into a soundbite. I want to make sure you heard this one. In Minnesota, it's in regards to autism. Apparently, it's on the rise. Or it could be fraud. Take a listen.
And Martha, the fraud in Minnesota happened on a number of different platforms. The vice president and Dr. Oz yesterday focused on the autism treatment centers. And the allegation is that the treatment centers would encourage parents to get a bogus diagnosis that their kid was autistic. The treatment center would then get a check and the parents would get a kickback. The treatment centers could not receive surprise inspections because they were not licensed. Now that licenses are required, only 6 out of more than 500 centers are even applying for the provisional license. Dr. Oz says this goes all the way to the top of state leadership.
This is not a problem with the people of Minnesota. It's a problem with the leadership of Minnesota and other states who do not take Medicaid preservation seriously. Any delay in services is going to be, should be laid at the seat of Governor Walz.
Now, Governor Tim Walz says the decision to withhold $250 million in Medicaid money is an example of the Trump administration weaponizing the federal government and punishing the people in a blue state.
The sense of retribution, no state has experienced this before. How does taking and punishing children and elderly have anything to do with fighting fraud when that's not where this issue was taking place? It does nothing.
Now, in 2017, the money repaid to the state of Minnesota for autism treatment was less than $2 million. By 2019, word got out that money was available. And then when COVID hit, the money really started moving until we see in 2024 almost $350 million paid out for autism treatment. Quite an increase in cases.
Indeed. Martha, back to you. Mike, thank you very much.
Shocker. Completely shocked. This is the problem when you have these massive programs like this. Obviously, it is it's a suction when it comes to fraud. People just kind of pour on in, and that's what's underway right now. And it's going to take a lot of sifting through to get through. By the way, remember when the DOJ just a couple of maybe, what was it, 2 months ago when this all started first popping off and gaining popularity, they said, oh, we're going to have a separate division over the DOJ. I still haven't heard of the U.S. attorney being designated with that task to investigate the fraud, and it's been quite some time since they've made that announcement. So we hope that very, very soon we'll be hearing about that. Also, folks, if you live in Kansas, I want to give you an update. If you are a tranny living in Kansas, you better get your IDs changed because guess what? It is now officially considered invalid if you don't have your actual real gender on those IDs. Yeah, just so you know. So let your tranny friends know that live in Kansas that they have to get their IDs changed. Folks, we're taking your calls. In the next segment, 877-789-2539 is the number to call. That's 877-789-2539. We're going to try our very best to work down the caller list. So make sure you call in right this very second. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We have BOGO right now. When you buy Ultimate Creatine Powder, you're going to get either the sea moss gummies or the Sheila J. Gummies for free. Now, that sale is going to last until Monday. So stop what you're doing right now. Head on over before you forget, thealexjonesstore.com. Again, it's also, by the way, 25% off apparel as well. That includes T-shirts, hats, and hoodies. And remember, when you support thealexjonesstore.com, you're supporting this broadcast and our efforts to continue on with whatever the future has on hold for us. Those front doors locked too. Make sure you download the app, alexjonesapp.com as well. That is alexjonesapp.com. Do that as well. All right, folks, we're taking your calls in just a moment. And then Mel Kay is joining the show. And there's a lot to talk about Mel Kay because there's new CIA documents that have been unearthed. Is that even a word? Unearthed? Probably not. Excuse me, I'm from New York. We'll be right back.
Widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, with the widest selection of T-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Into the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. Happy Friday, everyone. All right, we're diving into some phone calls. I'm trying to work our way down the list. Let's get to my good old buddy, Mr. Savage Dog, first up from Georgia. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Good morning, Brianna.
Good morning.
Good morning. Call me Beetlejuice because you're looking good in black there, Winona. Right.
This is why we keep you around. This is why you're the first one on the dock right now. Thank you, my friend.
Won't be undone. All due respect to Matt. What's his last name? Matt Tardio?
Tardio, I think. I think I'm saying it right.
How do you spell that? Because I want to follow him.
Okay. On Twitter, it's Anger Tab. So it's Anger and then T-A-B.
Anger Tab. That's right. I got him down. Okay. All due respect to him, the Quran has been mistranslated. These jihadist goat effers, you know, when they die in a jihad, they don't get 72 versions. They get 72 Virginians. they go up there and they get George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and John Paul Jones, and yeah, they get all the sex they want, just not the way they want it. Anyway, hold on, what's her name? God, Abby Phillip. Why isn't she fired yet?
Yeah, I don't think CNN hates. I don't think they hate themselves enough. I think they actually hate their viewers, and that's why they keep her on air. Savage Dog.
It's one thing to just go, Trump sucks, Trump sucks, Trump sucks. But if you're going to sit there and say two Purple Heart recipients, one Legion of Merit, and two Medal of Honor recipients are just winning prizes in a game show, even not just normies, but even people on the left with, you know, relatives that have served, they're going to look at that and go, what did she just say? What exactly? They're just prizes at a game show? I don't think so, Scooter. I mean, I'm really baffled by that one.
Yeah.
Number one, there hasn't been enough outrage. There's been a little, but not nearly enough. And I know we're, you know, on our side, we're not about cancel culture, but I really, I'd love to add that. I'd love for you to add that to your list of non-arrests. And plus one non-firing, Abby Phillip, for disrespecting the merit of our military. I mean, that was disgrace. That was the most disgraceful thing of the whole night. And that, you know, that the commies didn't stand. Even for a World War II Korean vet, you know, involved in a dogfight of the ages, you know, Jesus God, I'm just baffled by these people. And, you know, I don't know. I just want to sound off. I don't even know if I have like a solution to this. Just get her fired. Let CNN know. Yeah, you're tanking and you don't care, but I'll tell you what, bro, that was the low of the low.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty sad, Savage Dog. I don't know why there's no outrage over it. You know, these are just garbage people. Maybe nobody actually watched, though. I mean, no one's really watching CNN these days. Last I looked, Fox actually has 35% more viewership than CNN does and the other outlets, the left-leaning outlets, so no surprise there. But these people, they just hate this country. These people don't have anything really in common with us anymore. And she's the same troll who continues to cut off Republicans when she has them on her show because she wants to look fair and balanced, but she cuts them off and then tries to fact check them, even though her facts are just lies or not actual facts. And then she gets burned by it on Twitter, but on her show, she doesn't want them to give a rebuttal. So that's the kind of nonsense that she does quite often. So truly no surprise there, Savage Dog. I want to thank you, as always, for calling into the show. We greatly appreciate your time, as always. So thank you, my friend. Let's turn to Tim in California. Tim, welcome back.
Good morning, Brianna. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
The reason why I wanted to drop this is because, you know, it's Friday and it'll disappear and more things will happen on the weekend and it'll get away. So what I'm calling about is yesterday what dropped is from the Select Committee on the CCP. You can find this at chinaselectcommittee.house.gov. Okay, it's just, you know, a legitimate government thing. And this is the investigation undercovering China's space operations in Latin America. So apparently they're well established here in the Western Hemisphere. And if you read the report, it says this is the second of two reports. The first one was about money laundering, but this one is pulling Latin America into China's orbit, how the PLA weaponizes the ground architecture of the Space Silk Road in Venezuela, Brazil, Bolivia, Argentina, and Chile. So this is the Select Committee on the Strategic Competition between the United States and the Communist Party. And it's about a 30-page report, but if you read it, and you see the picture, you know, those guys are polka dotted all over South America.
Yeah, no surprise. No surprise. The committee, they're actually doing great work, but we're not getting much in the way of a response, though, from the reports they've released so far. But, yeah, just another thing to add to the long list, Tim, to the very, very long list.
I've got others. How many do you want?
We'll give you one more. Let's listen.
Okay. Okay, well, do you fly out of San Antonio Airport? Did you guys ever cover that runway incursion there at San Antonio on the 27th of January where Southwest jet was going like more than 150 miles an hour and all of a sudden had to abort because the jet ran right out in front of them? It was like, uh-oh, got to stop, you know, kind of thing.
No, I've actually never been to that airport, so tell me more.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that was, as I said, January 27th. I just thought since maybe you fly in and out there, maybe I didn't know. I thought, well, for that matter, I'd ask Rob, did he see the robot cowboy that runs around on the streets of San Antonio with his cowboy hat on, and he talks like John Wayne, and he haggles with tourists, and then he runs away, and he's a robot. Anyways, if you're a San Antonio person getting around in San Antonio, maybe you'll see that. I don't know.
Yeah, I've never been. Tim, thank you for calling, though. We appreciate it. Yeah, I probably won't go to San Antonio anytime soon either. I don't think so. Let's turn to Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew, welcome back to the show. What is on your mind?
I'm so handsome that even Hillary Clinton had a crush on me. But it's the true story. It was a rally in New York, and I was set up with the camera, you know, close, maybe like 30 feet away from her. And she was, you know, puppy dog eyeing me with other females. Like, there were two other females, and they were giggling, like, you know, quick. It was quick, but they, you know, like school girls. But she would have no chance, but you would have a chance, not only because physically beautiful, but ethically. Like, Hillary wouldn't have a chance.
Thank you, Andrew. And I wouldn't kill you either.
Right? That's plus the lack of character, you know, like that the Epsteins didn't have any dealings. You know, like, he didn't fund her organization, which we know that he did. And I want to say you're doing a great job just pointing out the hypocrisy of the Democrats, that they keep saying, you know, how they care, but they didn't care when Biden was in or when Obama was in, and the horrendous double standard. That imagine if it was Trump in the photos with the underage girls at Epstein Island, you know, he would be arrested, as he should be. But it's so hypocritical. But lastly on that, too, with the people that have issues psychologically and they're predators, and then you have the lawyers that are not, that lie. It's just sickening seeing the Democrat politicians and lawyers who don't have to do that. Like, I think every criminal deserves a defense, and usually the good thing with defense lawyers, they'll say, is that they see that the Constitution, that the law is not being usurped, which I completely agree with. But to absolutely, like, lie about pedophilia and to lie to cover your client, like Hillary did, InfoWars points out how that's how she started her career, covering for a pedophile rapist. And I add the term attempted murderer, because the person that raped this 12-year-old girl and threw her in a ditch, the woman, now grown, said that she thinks that they thought that they killed her, that they finished her off. So it's actually a murderer. But I don't want to rehash. It's appalling. But InfoWars always was on the cutting edge reporting that before any of the mainstream. And I'll let you go, but keep up the report. I can't wait till here, Clinton. But I think he's going to play dumb, like that he's senile now, like Joe Biden. He doesn't know anything. But lastly, with the affairs, the reason why I didn't, because I love The Rock, not Wayne Johnson, who I like, but in Thai, rock means love. So I refer to my wife as Rock or The Rock.
Andrew, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you, my friend. Thank you for calling into the show.
Thanks.
As always, it's always insightful, so we appreciate your time. Let's turn to Stephen in Texas. Stephen, what is on your mind? I hear it's a SAVE Act.
Oh, yeah. Is there any movement on that, Brianna?
I haven't heard any updates. I know we're still waiting on the Senate to push it through. I believe that was the last one, but I got nada for you.
All right. I just wanted to say I thought Alex Jones was a coup.
But, all right, Stephen. Thank you for calling. Have a great rest of your day.
All right,
hang up on that one. Let's go to Tommy in North Carolina. Tommy, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Brianna. How you doing?
Good. How are you, Tommy?
I'm doing better these days. I'm just calling in about Epstein. I think that, I'm not trying to be dirty or nasty or anything, but I think all the people in the files should have to give stool samples so we can see who's eating people. And nothing's going to get solved until they start arresting people. And we bring out the gallows and just start hanging, because it's just time to stop with all the horseplay and the, you know, I was there, but I didn't see anything. And, you know, Hillary Clinton trying to lie and say that she didn't know or didn't have any direct contact with Epstein. Everybody knows these are lies. Yeah. It's just time to just get real and just stop.
Yeah.
Just stop with the lies. Stop accepting the lies. And the minute that America stops accepting these lies and starts just, you know, like really taking to the streets, really stop paying their taxes, you know, really affecting some change, nothing's going to change. Mm-hmm. We need to, like, get real, like, really fast, because this is coming to a head. I was awarded the state of California when I was a kid, so I have a little bit of inside baseball
as a blue-eyed, blonde-haired kid that was turned over to the state, so I know what they do. This has been going on for generations, and it just breaks my heart that it's coming out, and we're still sitting here just spinning our wheels.
Yeah.
I mean, the truth is here. The files have come out. You have people trying to cover up on both sides. It's just disgusting, you know? And I'm not a picture of a perfect person, like high morals or anything, but this is just, like, too far.
Yeah.
I always thought that once things came out that, you know, there would be people in the country that, you know, do have dignity and stand to them, would do something about it. But nobody's doing anything. And it's really disheartening.
Yeah.
You know, and I thank God for InfoWars. I thank God for Alex Jones. He helped lead me to Christ. And it's just, it hurts. It really hurts. Knowing everything that I know, that nothing's being done. And I'm sorry. I don't mean to be a downer or anything like that. And I appreciate you taking my call. I know a lot of people call in with a bunch of silliness on your show, and I don't think that's very funny because this is serious stuff. You're a serious person. You do a great job.
Thank you, Tommy.
And, you know, and they do it to Alex, too. People call in with the stupidest stuff. I'll watch his show on there, and people are saying all this retarded stuff about him and the InfoWars, and it's just like, you know, the truth is the truth, and you cannot change it.
Yeah.
And so we've got to really, this country's really got to get serious. I mean, you really got to get serious. I mean, these people are eating people.
Yeah.
You know, they're raping children and kids. And it's so hard to even talk about. Something has to be done. To let them set up here in Washington and do these little questionnaires where they just, man, nothing gets done. I just want to call in and vent a little bit and tell you guys how much I really appreciate you.
Well, we appreciate that, Tommy. So thank you for calling in. Yeah.
I pray for y'all every day.
Well, thank you for that. We are very grateful for you doing that. So I truly appreciate that. And Tommy, you know, people call in all the time. We let them say what they want to say unless I tell, of course, I'm going to hang up on them. Apparently that guy too had a change of view in Alex, but. I don't know. Don't start off like that, and don't have your audio in the background blasting, because two things are annoying at once. It's not a good thing. Not a good thing at all. But no, Tommy, I'm with you on it. It's very frustrating sitting in the background and listening in on all of this. It's just we keep going over the same things over and over again. That's why I say it's rage bait at this point, because they're not doing anything. And it's the same characters. You know, Pam Bondi, for an example, was over at the Florida AG's office. She was sitting in that high up position, and guess what? Did nothing. She did nothing. And here she is now as the United States Attorney General and still doing nothing. You have to assume at this point these people are intentionally being placed in these positions. I don't think by President Trump, I don't think he really knew going into it, but there's definitely a bigger strategy here on all those fronts. It's upsetting to sit back and watch, and I wish I had more of a positive spin on it, but unfortunately, I don't, sadly. I don't. But thank you, Tommy, for calling in, and you're right. This is a very serious issue that's worthy of the American people's time and the seriousness, of course. Let's turn to John in Canada. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, Brianna, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. I just want to make a comment. I think the West needs to identify Islam as incompatible.
Yeah.
And it'd be nice if we could get a world trial and have scholars, have theologians, and do a broadcast live worldwide once and for all, point out all the incompatibilities with the Quran, mm-hmm. Sharia law, and deem it not compatible with the West, and therefore not to be practiced or respected in the West.
Yeah.
Period. Just do away with it once and for all. The conquest is on, and we're just falling into it again. And these people are consistent in what they want to do, take over the world. And we've got to put an end to that. Another problem I have is the Jewish percentage of representation population-wise versus the controls, the media, Hollywood, banking, you know, all of the huge institutions, just it's so disproportionate. So just want to point those things out. using all the supplements, and been listening since 2006. And thanks for all you guys do.
Yeah, well, John, thank you for calling in. No, I mean, I'm with you on that one. And I know here in the United States, Congress is starting to get a little bit involved. I don't know how well informed they are on the issue. It sounds to me when I hear them speak, though, they aren't very well informed about the Islamic threat that's ongoing right now. But so far in Congress, about 42 members of Congress that have joined the Sharia Committee, I believe is how they're phrasing it. But I sit back and I listen, I hear them say Sharia law, and I don't know if people are aware, but Sharia means law in their language. And so it sounds like you're saying law. And so there's a level of just lawmakers not knowing about the issue that is deeply, deeply concerning. And top officials in the Trump administration too are very naive on the subject matter too. And it's always kind of jarring for me. I know like Pete Hegseth understands a threat. Obviously he's a veteran. He's been all across the Middle East. He knows it better than most, but you know, we're kind of struggling to get by when it comes to that. And I know Canada specifically has I don't think they have an appetite for it at this point. I think that they're just okay with what's going on. They're just going to allow it to unfold. And it's sad. But unfortunately, I think the violence isn't really going to kick up until they become the majority. And when that happens, that's when it's just too late. And even right now, I don't know how you get these people out of your country after they've been able to successfully infiltrate. So there's that as well. John, thank you for calling in. Armatura, I believe that's how you pronounce it, in Florida is on hold as well. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Brianna. Good morning to you and the team. Great work as always.
Thank you.
You know, I really want to feel that the people of America have an option that is peaceful and bloodless to possibly regain our republic.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been dwelling on this idea for a while, and it's so simple in concept, yet it's never been instituted. Do you feel that we're under any sort of contract with those that we elect into any sort of office, whether it's a mayor, county commissioner, your congressmen, your senators? Do we have a contract with them that they have to uphold?
Do I feel like, their oath would be the contract, if that's what you're alluding to.
Correct.
There, one would think.
Yeah, but at the same time, has that oath been violated? Has the trust been broken? Do we feel like they're there representing our will and what we want as the people of America?
Yeah, I'd say most Americans would say no. I think that's probably on both sides of the aisle as well.
So I've been kind of digging and trying to put together a council and getting different people involved. You know, I need a legal scholar. I need someone as well as I'm collecting myself. This is something I've been wanting to talk to you about for a while, and I got put on hold a week ago, and then the phones went down.
Sorry. That was a crazy day.
That's okay. No, I'm very passionate about this because we need to have every vote equal a contract. I've been discussing this with Tiffany Cianci because she inspired me with the arbitration clauses that we find in all of our contract agreements, and they have these courts that don't have to follow the law. So why don't we use their tools and weapons formed against us and start every vote equaling a contract that we develop for every voter district, for every voter? If you could basically hold someone in office accountable for their actions, you know, we could set terms and standards. You can only serve this term if you uphold what you agree to do and keep it reasonable in a very simple and basic contract. But if they're in violation of the contract, we hold them in arbitration court. We take them to the cleaners. We evaluate their net worth. And at that point, we basically do forensic backgrounds to make sure we know where all of their money is. So they're going to leverage their money for their word if they want to be elected. When they're elected into that position, we then say, okay, you're doing what you say you're going to do. Great job. We're going to go ahead and vote you back in. If anyone ran on that campaign with a promised contract obligation to the voters that were voting for them, they would win because they'd be like, this guy's going to do what I want him to do, or this woman's going to do what I want them to do.
Yeah.
If they don't have it on the line, if they're not leveraging their net worth, which most people going to Washington these days or to any position of power in government seem to want to go there to get authority and power and money. Well, if we have access to their power and money because they violated a contract, we've actually got something over them. They actually have skin in the game. Right now, there's no skin in the game. They do what they want. They run all over us.
Yeah.
This is something I think needs to be developed and talked about more. It's so simple. It's every vote equals a contract. It's very simple. It just needs to be done. We need to have a binding, enforceable contract for anyone that represents us. We cannot keep giving them blind authority over us to do what they want in Washington.
Yeah.
It has to stop.
Yeah.
We're
about to cut off because we have a hard commercial break here, but I want to thank you for jumping in and calling into the show and everyone else who's called in. No, I agree with you. That's the idea of primary is what primary is supposed to do. Unfortunately, though, the local GOPs really hang that up and they don't allow people to decide, and they weigh in, and so does President Trump as well. So there's that. Folks, thank you for calling in. I'm sorry we didn't have enough time to get to everyone. I always try my very best. In the meantime, though, head on over to theofficerunsober.com. It's BOGO on some of your favorite supplements right now. That includes when you purchase the Ultimate Creatine, you get Sea Moss Gummies or Shilajit Gummies as well for free. Head on over to alexjonesober.com.
Alert, alert, alert. We're engaged in world-changing information here. The worldwide satanic pedophile networks, the poison shots, the depopulation, the classified CIA documents about poisoning the food and water and medicines to make us dumb and more docile and controllable and to make us sick and die. Operation Artichoke, fully declassified this week. Total vindication of this broadcast. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified, best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And we have a massive sale, and that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies. Each gummy is equivalent to like 40 grams or something of Irish Sea Moss. It's so good for you. A bunch of other super nutrients. And our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free. That's a $35 value. Absolutely free with our creatine. There's also store-wide 25% off all apparel. That ends midnight Wednesday, March 4th. But let me just overhead shot show TV viewers a couple of things right here. KU Medical Center. Creatine shows potential to boost cognition in Alzheimer's patients. Just type in creatine, Alzheimer's. Creatine and cognition and aging, a systematic review of evidence in older adults, a major study. HHS Public Access. Effects of creatine supplementation on cognitive function of healthy individuals, a systematic review of randomized controlled trials. And it's not just good for your brain, it's good for your heart, your muscles, everything. Everybody always thinks of it for muscles, but it's every organ, folks, and you gotta get the right kind of creatine. We have the best. Here's BBC telling the truth. The bodybuilding supplement that boosts brain power. I mean, my God, I was taking creatine in high school. I could bench press 350 pounds, weighed 180 pounds, squatting 600. My strength just exploded once I got on creatine. But what's it do for your brain? Want bigger gains in your brain? Six facts about creatine and brain health. Get your creatine already discounted. Get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss and or Shilajit until Monday, March 2nd at midnight. And it funds the operation. Take action now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Plus, 25% off all apparel, t-shirts, hats, and hoodies. Ends midnight, Wednesday, March 4th. Take advantage of that. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. I want just Americana stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus. Classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. I gave the concept great guys over there and gals. All up in Arkansas, where Big League's based. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. It's got a cool deal on the right-hand shoulder. And there's just, it's over 700 shirts now. That's the only problem, is that you find a shirt, you get it, you like it, you want to buy another one. Takes me like, if you don't remember the name of the shirt, it takes you like an hour to find it. But that's a good problem to have.
Waking up America, one narrative at a time. Brianna Morello is live on the American Journal right now on band.video and x.com.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Happy Friday, everyone. You know, I'm watching President Trump, and he's dropping a bunch of endorsements right now on Truth Social. But there's one that stands out. Anytime I get a flex and do a little bit of baseball coverage, you know I'm all in. The president just endorsed Mark Teixeira, a former Yankee. Yankee great, by the way. He just backed him for the congressional seat in Texas. It's the 21st congressional seat in Texas. And he calls Teixeira a total winner. I agree, but obviously I'm biased as a New Yorker and a Yankee fan. I have to say that this is a great endorsement. I'm very critical of his endorsements most of the time, though. But this one, you got mine. You got my endorsement for that endorsement. So that's a good one that just dropped. But, yeah, there's a couple more that are on it. That's what you'd all expect. That's the only one that I think is worth your time. All right, folks, I want to get to some CIA-related topics. And make sure you saw this one. There's a couple of documents that are coming back to the surface that were released. And this one's actually a really important one. Again, it has to do with Project Artichoke. We talked about it earlier in the program. I know, I think it was Wednesday, I covered one of the pages. But there's another page that shows how the CIA was preparing to potentially assassinate high-ranking politicians in foreign countries. Now, wouldn't that be a shocker? It looks like this was apparently going to happen in an unnamed country, of course, because they've redacted still all the information, even though this happened in 1954. You got to protect those institutions still. The person who was directing this assassination is also heavily redacted. And the alleged victim, we don't know who that is either. It's also redacted. Access to the person's information is obviously very limited, noting that the subject was a heavy drinker, with potentially the possibility of secretly drugging them with a spiked alcoholic beverage, of course. And so, yeah, it's not like our CIA goes around killing people unless you have a document that backs just that. Joining me to discuss a woman who's doing a deep dive for her latest book on the CIA and how corrupt they, of course, are. Welcome back to the show, my girl Mel Kay. She's host of the Mel Kay Show and author of the book Americans Anonymous, which I highly recommend. If you haven't grabbed yet, you'd make sure you do just that and give her a follow on X as well. That's Mel Kay Show. All right, Mel. No surprise here. I actually forwarded this to you when it first started dropping all the information on Project Artichoke. And, you know, we've speculated about this for years now. But again, this is just more of a backing of another document verifying that the CIA is, in fact, going around killing people.
Yeah, that's because we've been lied to from the very beginning about the CIA itself and the entire architecture that was created in the wake of World War II while the Allies were celebrating victory. The supranational infrastructure and architecture was being created by two Americans that we are familiar with, but I don't think that their history is actually what really they were involved in, which is, of course, the Dulles brothers, John Foster Dulles and Alan Dulles. Everyone knows John Foster Dulles went into the State Department after World War II as the Secretary of State, and his brother created and then ran the CIA. What I've learned in research for my next book, Infiltration Instead of Invasion, America Betrayed 1944 to 1954, was that the Dulles brothers, along with the man, the American that was running the Bank of International Settlements during World War II, basically looting and transferring and transmitting all of the wealth that was stolen from 60 million people affected by World War II, the three of them got together with the head of the Bank of the Reich, Schreff, and the head of the Bank of England, and a whole bunch of people at the time that called themselves internationalists, and they created the supranational infrastructure, or the octopus of global control, as I like to call it, that has been capturing and has captured all nations, including our own. I do believe that the CIA was created to protect that infrastructure, that architecture above nations. And essentially, when George H.W. Bush, and many people know his father was all mixed up with the Nazis as well, I firmly believe that the Dulles brothers worked actively with the Nazis. And there was a lot more than Operation Paperclip that came out of it, including the origins of both NATO and West Germany being filled with Nazis picked by Dulles and another military man that's honored named McCloy. And frankly, I think that they transferred a lot of that here. I think the OSS essentially was working with the Nazi spies, and many people know about Annie Jacobson's great book, Operation Paperclip, and really she digs in deep. But there's a lot more to come. Apparently right now Grassley and Millay are sponsoring a deep dive into the Swiss banks and the rat lines, as they're called, of all the billions and billions of dollars, probably trillions, that came out of Nazi Germany and proliferated around the world, a lot of it ending up here in the United States of America. And what we need to understand is that the CIA has never been about protecting the United States of America. It has been about protecting the international infrastructure from the people of the United States of America and many other countries from seeing it. They have become, as you brought up, Artichoke, but we also know about MK Ultra. We also know that Helms destroyed a lot of the MK Ultra documents. But as you know, and I know you guys have had on Kathy O'Brien, who's written multiple books about her experience being in the program for nearly 30 years. She was sold as a child into the CIA program, a la Stranger Things, if you're familiar. That was very much of how she was raised. And there's other people like Dr. Juliet Engel, who's a survivor. MK Ultra victims were not supposed to live past a certain age, but they were in fact trained to become spies. Kathy in her own book talks about being sent to Nicaragua and not remembering when she came back and all kinds of mind control that went on. We know what happened in Canada as well. There's also a Dr. Jolly from UCLA. Many people also believe that Mengele himself did continue with the program and all of the experiments. And now, as we read Jeffrey Epstein's emails, where one of the Rothschilds is saying we funded Hitler, and Epstein's kind of, you know, going back and forth with him. What you have to understand is everything we have been told since World War II about our history is essentially a lie. And that is by design. And the people that protect the lie, apparently, are the CIA. And all of our embassies are essentially infested with CIA and operatives. And at the end of the day, there's no accountability. There's no oversight. Their black budgets never get looked at. And as you know, and I always talk about, the International Organization Immunity Act of 1945, and then was doubled down on later, protected all of the banks from the BIS and World Bank and IMF and 63 other banks that are connected to that. All of the infrastructure kind of put together in the end days of World War II. And then also they went on to protect their international organizations that do similar things, which is the UN and all of the tentacles there. So, I mean, essentially the American people and frankly free people worldwide have not been free, have not had a sovereign nation, have not had law and order. We have had the illusion of such. But JFK wanted to destroy the CIA for reasons, and we were already told by the 80s by Yuri Bezmenov that we were fully infiltrated. Don't forget about the Franklin School, I mean, the Frankfurt School coming into Columbia, the bastion of, you know, Marxism in America, of course, critical legal theory, critical race theory. All of this stuff is Marxism and communism. And the American people have to decide, is this the direction we want to continue on? Is being, you know, living in an illusion of freedom, an illusion of choice? Because as you notice, no matter who we vote for, these deep state lawyers, many of them I believe to be CIA, many of the people in the media now, these mainstream media, CIA, and then you also look at things like the Dulles brothers went on, John Foster Dulles, to run the Council of Foreign Relations, which of course has been running our foreign policy above any president. So when we talk about the deep state and we talk about all of this, this is the senior executive service. These are people that never go away. They call it continuity of government, meaning that no matter what president comes in, no matter what the people vote for, no matter what we want, they're going to come with all, you know, barrels blasting and make sure that the votes and the voice of the people are not heard, are not followed through, and they wait out presidents, the presidents that they don't murder. But I think we have to go back and look at JFK's warning about the monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that seeks to entrap and basically imprison all men, women, and children worldwide, because the panopticon of their technocracy and their eugenics and all of the things they've been planning, particularly the financial world order that is a fraud and has looted and lied to and manipulated our nation and the world into endless wars for profit, into justifying NATO's expansion, of course, because the military-industrial complex feeds into the international banking cartel at the very top. So, you know, what country do we want to be? And that's where we have to go right now. Let's learn the real history, which I dug into hard in my new book, and it's really going to be eye-opening. I have all the real documents. Infiltration instead of invasion, because between 1944 and 1954, a whole bunch of internationalists, bankers, billionaires, and frankly, the Dulles brothers sold our country out. And I don't think since then, the State Department, USAID, CIA, National Endowment for Democracy have worked at all for the American people. I believe they have worked actually against the American people to protect the institutions they built above our country.
Yeah, well, Mel, this actually is a great pivot to some clips you actually sent my way, and I want to get to this and have you explain it.
Terrible.
Yeah, but you've actually sent over a couple of these, and it details specifically how the CIA was able to do the, or was trying to do the coup against President Trump back in 2015. This is when this all began. Let's take a listen to clip 12.
Start by telling us a little bit of the origin story of the Steady State. This is an organization that seems to be picking up steam, but has actually been around for quite some time now, I think back to 2016.
That's exactly correct. Well, we started in 2016, pretty much the day after the election of Donald Trump. Myself, I'm former CIA. I used to work also on Capitol Hill on the Intelligence Committee, as well as the Homeland Security Committee and the Judiciary Committees. And many of us, we call ourselves former sometimes, I had kept in touch. We're sort of on the older side. So we had left government service. Some of us had retired. Some of us had gone into the private sector. And we were a group that was mostly drawn from CIA and the Department of State. Many of us had worked on issues in the Balkans at the end of the Clinton administration, and we liked each other. We kept in touch. We trusted each other. We were very concerned that we had just elected somebody who seemed remarkably unprepared to be commander-in-chief. And it really wasn't a political thing. In fact, many of us, I later found out, and I'll explain what I mean by later found out and why, had been Republicans. So it wasn't a party thing. It was a, we were worried that we had a president who was inexperienced and unsuited to be commander in chief. So what do we do? What we first decided to do was let's just tell. Let's offer our experience and our professional expertise to the new administration in a nonpartisan way. And we wrote to the National Security Advisor designate. That was General Flynn. Basically said, we're a bunch of formers, and we know what we're talking about. We're all out of the government now. You have a tough job. We're here to help. We didn't get a response. He got fired a few weeks later and then indicted. So we wrote the same letter to General McMaster and never got a response. And we sort of floundered a little bit at that point, and we started hearing even back then about retaliation and blacklists. This was a president who had stepped outside the framework of how America does its national security policy, and how we make decisions in a democracy. This was an existential threat. And we sort of pulled up our pants and said, what do we do? We don't want to get involved in domestic politics, but it's an existential threat. So we had two competing issues here, and we decided to get involved. Now, when I say get involved, I do not mean bring the skills of trained intelligence officers to bear domestically. We didn't do anything spooky. It was what lots of advocacy groups do. We wrote, we spoke, we talked, we eventually endorsed candidates. It was really hard for us, particularly the CIA people. It was like, oh my goodness, we're talking to reporters and academics publicly? That's crazy. But we did it. We managed to do it. And then Joe Biden wins. Existential threat gone. And I got to say, one of the things I'm proudest of is we continue to adhere to our sort of professional ethics. And what did we do after vanquishing the existential threat? We did what you'd hope we do. We basically disappeared, went to sleep again. We stayed in touch with each other. There was a steering committee. We did some educational stuff.
Mel, apparently he thinks he knows better than the American people, and that the CIA knows who should be elected in this country, not the will of the American people being carried through, though, fortunately.
Yeah, just like the Dulles brothers set it up, and like he's talking about, it was the State Department and the CIA decided that Donald Trump was not going to be president, and they were going to do everything they could, and they did. And the letter to Flynn, and then what happened to Flynn, of course, was orchestrated with the help of John Brennan, who was running the CIA, and Gina Haspel, who was running the CIA headquarters in London. They orchestrated almost everything. We also know that for whatever reason, Peter Strzok had one foot in the CIA and one foot in the FBI. Well, that shouldn't be happening. And more than that, what's really sad is they have a whole website, Steady State. And if you look through their website, it is unending ambassadors and CIA agents and military intelligence that all got together when Donald Trump won in 2016 to destroy him, to end the voice and the vote of the people. We wanted something different. We knew things weren't right since the murder of JFK. No one being held accountable. One crime after another, essentially by the intelligence community. Regime change wars, responsibility to protect, endless expansion of NATO. This was not what was supposed to happen. And you throw in the Project for a New American Century and the money-making scams of the war on terror, a war on a tactic that changed regularly, and you wonder about the $21 trillion missing from U.S. taxpayer money that has gone into black holes all over the world. This is not what the United States of America was supposed to be. In fact, everything he's saying is the opposite. And then, of course, he's part of the group. He spoke about the Balkans. Well, who was in the Balkans when he was there? That would be Norm Eisen, the leader of the lawfare that has been going on since 2016 in tandem as well. So we have the whole Project for a New American Century, and that's Wolfowitz, Cheney, Rumsfeld, all the war for profiteers, the people that got us into Iraq based on lies and everything else. And then, so this is the most important thing for people to know about Project for a New American Century. When you look into it, and you'll see there all of these people, that's Samantha Power, that's Rothschild, that's Soros, that's, you know, Cheney, Obama, all these people. Well, what it says on the first page of this document that came out in 2000, it says the process of transformation, even if it brings revolutionary change, is likely to be a long one, absent some catastrophic and catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor. Well, wouldn't you know it, just a short time later, we had 9/11. And as you're noticing in the Epstein files, the 9/11 years are basically still redacted from about a year before to about 2 years after. There's some good reporting coming out about his participation, Jeffrey Epstein's, in the Iran-Contra scandal, in dealing with Khashoggi, in asking Ghislaine Maxwell if she'd like to be on the 9/11 alternative investigation division. I mean, it's just so many layers of corruption, but I will say that it all leads back to the Dulles brothers essentially selling out the United States of America and turning the State Department and their partners at CIA and USAID into a separate entity above our nation, above our president, above our voices and our vote, above our so-called democracy, which is really a constitutional republic. And we have not been free since then, and anyone that gets in the way of the international banking cartel or their money machine known as the military-industrial complex, NATO expansion, gets taken out one way or another. And we can never forget what happened to Gaddafi and, frankly, what even happened to Saddam Hussein, all based on lies. So who are these people, and where is all the money? And America is $36 trillion in debt. You're telling me right now, where is that money? We got to end the International Organizations Immunity Act of 1945 and the following, and look into the Bank of International Settlements, the IMF, the black hole that is the World Bank, where a lot of our money goes, the UN. I mean, all I am telling you is that everything that was created during those years, 44 to 54, was created to subvert the United States of America, to pump up civil society, we now know as NGOs, as global, and to end the United States of America as a nation state and every other nation state for global governance by a technocratic totalitarian elite. We have the documents from George Soros from 1993, the NATO World Order, still on his website. We have the Brzezinski document from the Council of Foreign Relations of 1995 laying it all out. And here we are watching what I see as the Fourth Reich in Europe marching us one more time to World War III on that continent that we actually fought a war not to be a part of. And when people tell you the EU is our ally, no, it's not. We paid for the EU through the fraudulent Marshall Plan. That's a whole bunch of taxpayer money, trillions of dollars, that went into building the EU. Henry Kissinger recruited Klaus Schwab from Harvard with a CIA operation to start the World Economic Forum. So all of this is a fraud, again, for the one world government, and their end goal is World War III. And then again, during the Reconstruction, like after World War I and World War II, they consolidate power and money, and this time they have the technology to do it. So we have to be very loud about all that's going on to connect us in cyberspace on a global public infrastructure and examine, is the EU our ally? And I would say no. They are a partner of the international banking cartel. They've captured all of those countries. They're taking away their sovereignty. And we're next. And this goes back to Kissinger, Brzezinski, Madeleine Albright, all the people that Obama brought back in when he got back into office. And then, of course, Joe Biden brought in a lot of the acolytes. So that is what we're dealing with. Our enemy is within, and frankly, they are global.
Yeah, well, Mel, too, before we go, I want to make sure we hit this, too, because you also sent me this clip 13 as well, which tells us how steady state spook was focused on the domestic surveillance during the Biden years. Let's listen in.
Just to kind of collect the history here, I mean, at this point, Trump had also revealed something quite significant, which is that he did try to steal the 2020 election and hold on to power despite losing. And so, you know, in some sense, that was the greatest revelation, in my opinion, of like his authoritarian impulses. And the fact that you all were able to see it early in 2016, 2017, 2018. So it's surprising to me that after that moment, that was when you ceded a little bit.
We thought he had been vanquished. He was gone. Joe Biden won. Trump would recede into, as someone once said, the dustbin of history. One of a number of failed dictators. That's fine. So we didn't think we were necessary. Most of us returned to whatever we were doing in retirement. I actually, being a glutton for punishment, decided eventually to go back into government. I went to the Department of Homeland Security, where I joined the Office of Intelligence and Analysis. I became an intelligence officer again. I was the senior advisor to the undersecretary. I want to just, a slight digression. Why did I do that? Well, because INA, that's what it was called, Intelligence and Analysis, is the only element of the intelligence community that doesn't have a law enforcement guided by courts and criminal justice mission, but it's focused domestically. And in fact, that was sort of an experiment in the post 9/11 world when DHS was created against and in the face of fears that we could be creating a sort of Ministry of Interior, which is a terribly scary thing. I thought it's one of the hardest problems in intel. I still think we need some domestically focused intelligence organization, but doing that without destroying democracy is a hard thing.
Let's jump in on this. Mel, I want you to react. This guy obviously is saying that he got back into the intelligence agencies. It's absolutely kind of horrifying. We still have whistleblowers who still can't get back in after blowing the whistle on thousands of missing children that went missing under the Biden regime years. Your reaction, we've got about a minute left.
Well, I just want to say that my reaction is I don't understand why these people believe that they are superior to anyone else. Yeah. These people, they do not believe that the American people should have a voice or a vote. It goes back to Rockefeller believing that an intellectual elite and bankers are more suited at running this country. Well, that is what he's a part of. That is what he wants to keep in power. And frankly, I don't know who this guy thinks he is, but if somebody does not look into steady state, then they are not serious about destroying the deep state or the sewer that runs our country. That man is admitting right there with all kinds of arrogance that he, in fact, is above the president of the United States that we the people voted for. And a lot of his friends are the same. And I would say this, he is connected 100% to Norm Eisen and the lawfare crew that has gotten in the way and thrown sand in the gears of what the American people voted for and what the American people want. And don't forget, he's admitting right there not only that he was involved in writing the Patriot Act, which is the most unconstitutional thing, but then he went back in to work for Mayorkas and open up that border and do all the trafficking through the border. So, I mean, every single one of these CIA agents, they should shut down the CIA, out everyone. We have Spamberger running Virginia. She's a CIA agent. We have Slotkin running in a Michigan CIA agent. These are people that are trained to lie, cheat, and steal and undermine the will of the people of this country. They have nothing to do with democracy, and it's time for us to be honest about it and hold these people accountable.
Yeah, Mel, I'm on board for all of that. Mel, thank you for jumping on with us. I know you got a busy day lined up ahead of you, so thank you for your time, folks. Make sure you give her a follow on X right now. Mel K Show is where you can find her on X. She is always exposing the truth. Plus, she's a host of the Mel K Show. So give her a follow on Rumble as well. And snatch the book on Amazon right now. Americans Anonymous is where you can find that at. All right, folks, that's it for me. I'll be back in the chair on Monday. We'll see you then.
We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at TheologyShowStore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free with our creatine. The Alex Jones Store. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of T-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.